and welcome to episode 223 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mass from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who's a jet setter and has been all over the shop in every way, shape, or form.
It's every way.
Mr. Tony Esmond.
All right, baby cakes.
Hello. Yes, we haven't recorded for, I think, 13 days, something like that, 14 days.
I was missing it as well because I was just watching videos of Dan at Leamington just to cheer myself up.
Yep. We'll talk a little bit. This show, we've got con fever, as I said on social media, and I congratulate myself for sounding so witty when I posted it. But yes, we're very much a convention-heavy show this week because we've got a little bit of a con talk to start off with, but also we're going to be talking about Thought Bubble properly for the first time since this show started.
Yeah. It won't be hypothetical nonsense. We've got someone on.
This week we're very pleased to be joined by one of the group of fantastic people behind this year's Thought Bubble Festival, taking place between the 4th and the 10th of November. Welcome to the show, Chloe Green.
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya, Chloe.
Sorry for evading you for so long.
It wasn't you.
Yeah, totally understandable.
Yeah.
You're the one who sought us out at MCM this year.
I did. I tracked you down.
Yeah. One of the few.
Like a hitman on the dark web.
Yep. Which was a whole conversation we all had before this show started that you'll never know about.
Or maybe if I find
a decent outtake, then you might hear it at the end. Yes, Thought Bubble is obviously where it's building up. It's almost here in just under how many weeks?
It's pretty much 3 weeks ish.
Bloody hell, is it that close?
It's ridiculously close.
I bet you've got more than me, but I've got quite a lot to do as well. Oh my God.
There's an awful lot of comic creators out there who still have an awful lot to do. There's a lot of comic printers out there. God bless you for all the hard work you're doing at the moment. For Thought Bubble, because a lot of people launch stuff at Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this week we finally got one of the Thought Bubble gang on to talk about the festival, so we're going to go a bit more in-depth than just three blokes hypothetically talking about what could be at the show when we have no idea. So, which is good. It's exciting because we wanted to properly sort of talk about it, because Thought Bubble is kind of the big one, and it's the glass
to breathe. It really is. Yeah.
Especially for comics, right? Because for indie comics especially. So we're going to get stuck into that soon enough. But do you know what else you can get stuck into when it comes to that was a terrible segue, because as soon as I started saying it, I thought this could go very, very badly. But if you want to get stuck into reading comics, do you know where you can go?
Comic House.
Yes. He was my table mate at Leamington, and he stepped up like a pro once again just then.
He's the best table mate ever.
He is.
And I brought food for the masses. I was giving out chocolate mini rolls.
Yep. We'll get on to that controversial topic very, very shortly. But yeah, this show, as always, is brought to our good friends Comic House, who are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. If you go to comichouse.com, there's loads of indie creators who are just putting their books on there and selling their hard copies of the books, and it's just another avenue to get your books out there. But we talk about the app every week. I mean, that's the thing we focus most on because it's brilliant. There's a huge sort of database of indie titles on there. We're all on there in some way, shape, or form, as well as a lot of our listeners and
Books we've written are on there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just holiday snaps of us.
Oh, but that could be a.
I sense a zine. For you. Bristol Zine Fair. Yeah. Here we come.
Just in time Halloween. That one.
And you'll probably be able to read that on Comic House when the time comes. But there's loads of stuff being added all the time. Dan, what's on there at the moment?
We've got Miskatonic High, issue one, from publisher Danger Dads. Impossible from Chris Sides and Jake Rowlandson from Marcosia.
Oh, I'm glad that's on there.
That's
well
fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a really good comic. Surrealsville, issue 16, another Surrealsville. Bloody
He's
hell.
He's kicking him out, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
The Super Fun Adventures of Jax by Marcosia. I gave that a read today. That's got some great painting style. We was only talking about that the other week. Smoke and Mirror from Marcosia again. So,
I meet Harry tomorrow from Marcosia for a coffee.
Look at me, hobnobbing it.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Hobnobbing it. To you, I know they're like a cheap form of biscuits you get a little, but you know, it has other meanings.
Chris is doing a follow up to Impossible, is he not?
I think he is. I think so.
Yeah,
he is, in fact, yeah, because I was there when he signed a contract or something.
It's a very different sort of style of book, apparently, isn't it?
Is it?
I can't wait. It's the continuation of the story, but not to spoil Impossible, although you should all read it because it's amazing. But where it ends, I think the second book is going to be a completely different kind of story.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a whole different environment, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, but you can read like all of those books and more on comichouse.com. There's a 14-day free trial, subscription service, and for only £3 a month, you get access to all those books we mentioned and tons more. It's not like Netflix. Like, when you want to find a film, you can't find it. This stuff stays there. As far as we know, it stays there, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just there's an absolute watch of comics, because I looked at the superhero genre today, and there's loads on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you haven't tried it yet, now's the good time to do it, because normally when these things start up, much like all these other sort of streaming services or other kind of things, when they first start up, they don't have that much. But now, there's a huge database, and you won't...
We're number two in the charts.
Yes.
But we're number one in people's hearts. Yes.
Our number four is number two.
You look at number two was always the greater one. Look at Vienna. It never made it to number one, did it? Because Joe Dolce, Shut Up Your Face, made it to number one instead.
We have to do a pub quiz. You'd be amazing on a pub quiz.
It's more credibility being number two, I think. That's how I feel about it. Obvious jokes insert here.
Let's just leave that for the audience.
Yeah. Chloe, that was our advert. How did you feel that went? Was that okay?
Good, yeah. I felt like I shouldn't talk because it was very professional.
Too kind.
too kind. But did you know that if you go to comichouse.com, you can find out more about the service now?
Yeah.
So Chloe does know that now.
She does. I do.
I got to say, God bless her for putting up with all this nonsense that we'll be talking. But yes, like we say, it's very much convention season. I can't think of a time when it has been busier, like October especially. This might be the busiest month I've ever seen it for convention, whether it be the larger shows or the smaller shows, because me and Dan, obviously, we just did Leamington.
Yep.
You heard a bit of the audio last week. Thank you very much for checking that out. We tried to get
side of the convention to the other.
Yes. If you want to see Dan Butcher's walk round 60% of the the convention floor.
I did get grief from the convention organizer for not doing the whole entirety.
But yeah, there's a video on our Facebook group. Awesome Comics Talks. You can find out that there, and it's on our Twitter and stuff.
I was also broadsided by a former 2000 AD editor. So,
were you
on Twitter?
Oh, you're on Twitter, weren't you? Yeah. Didn't get the joke, I think. Yeah. Oh, good old John Freeman pointed it out to him. Thanks, John. Yeah.
But thank you to anyone that came up, took a card, met us, chatted to us, and generally had a nice time at the show. It was a good, fun show, great venue. Always good catching up with some of the people there. Some of our favourite creators were there. We got to hang out with them. Daryl
Cooling turned up. Kev Cooling turned up and swore his camera. That's the only bit I saw with him.
Yep.
He's the dude.
Yeah. There was lots of great people there. Some of whom you might hear on future episodes.
Yep.
Namely the Halloween show, which has been put in place. So there you go.
Yeah, we've got a competition coming up later.
Yes.
Hashtag competition.
Yeah. Don't say hashtag competition. That's the most broad that's the broadest hashtag I've ever seen in my life.
I know, but it gets listeners if you do that.
Oh,
remember
we did
it before. We did it before, didn't we? It worked. Nobody won that competition.
Yeah, a load of randos just follow you.
Did you say nobody won that competition? You can't just say that we're doing competitions and no one won.
It was in the early days, and I made up a load of names of people that won because nobody went in for it.
This show's a sham. People know it now. Unbelievable. I was waiting for the tell-all book in the next 10 years.
Dan goes, I didn't know those people won that. And I went, I made them up. Made those names up.
Just so you know, folks, that was about 130 episodes ago. So
on the record there, I didn't know about that. That was fraud. No, I didn't. I wasn't in on it.
We gave them to charity. We gave the prizes to charity. It's fine.
but yes, we were at Leamington. Thank you very much for meeting us and chatting with us and picking up some of our comics or whatever. We might as well do these in order, aren't we? I guess because while we're at Leamington, Tony, where were you?
I was in New York, so I did New York. I didn't do the whole day at the No Brow table, but I did a substantial lump of time at the No Brow table, and it was basically going, oh, do you want a Hilda book? There you go. Do you want a Hilda book? There you go. Do you want a Hilda book? There you go. It was like literally that many sales.
Wow, okay.
Was that your pitch? Was that as short as it was? They just wanted the book and you went, there you go.
Do you know what? Having done MCM recently, where you people come to the table and they go, they sort of scream, "Oh, Hilda," in your face, and you have to sort of explain to them what a comic is, and the fact, and then you go to, "Did you know it was a comic first?" And they look at you quizzically before running off and screaming at someone else. This was like, "Oh, did you seen the comic?" "Oh no, there's a comic. Brilliant. How much?" That was what it was like.
Oh, okay.
Really, really enthusiastic people. A lot of really nice people. A lot of families. That sort of thing. But it was absolutely packed. There was talk about Sunday being as busy as Saturday this year, and I can see that it was. Did I send you the video of the sort of sea of people just walking past the table?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's exhausting, mate. Yeah, absolutely exhausting. If you want to go to the loo, it took you about 3/4 hour.
To get there, not while you were there.
Yeah.
Well, I'd had a lot to drink, to be fair.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Blimey.
But yeah, so can I just name a few people?
Yeah,
sure.
So Jeff, Jake, Sam, Jane, Benny and Louie on the No Brow team on the table. We had an absolute blast, a really nice blast. Yeah, so we had a table that was part of the Silvergate Netflix production company, and they had built a woodman sort of thing and all this sort of thing. So we're getting sort of double customers, really. My pals, Ed and Amory and Adrian, the Mighty Harris was there. So I had dinner with Mr. Cucumber, and we met up with Sarah as well, and it was probably one of the funniest evenings of my life. Not also ruined by the fact that we watched Dan walk around Leamington about 5 times on my phone because it was amusing. I flew out with Mr. Wild Goose, so it was good to see the reception. He sold out, I think, pretty much in a day.
Wow! Of his,
just like people flooded to his table. I saw the Vanda, Arena and Nazelli from Europe Comics, and we'll go to them in a minute, I'm sure. But they were super, super good company. I spoke to Joe Pruitt from Aftershock. Tony Wolfe, who's an actor from The Blacklist, came over. He's also a sort of small press comic creator, so I had a chat with him. Nicola Love, who organises Glasgow. Do you know Nicola, Chloe, at all?
I know her via the internet.
Right, yeah.
I really want to go there soon because it just seems like the friendliest, nicest convention.
It is. It really is, actually, yeah. Yeah, Claire from the Fandemonium Network, I don't know if you remember, guys, she did a review of Awesome Comics Anthology.
Yeah, of course I remember Claire. Yeah.
And we remember meeting her at True Believers this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I was there when she came over. I think I must have been somewhere
else. That's where she got the badge, Tony.
Oh, because she had an Awesome Comics badge on, yeah. She sort of pointed out as she walked off. Yeah, so it's good. Brennan Wagner, Michael Fife, I mean, you name it, they were there. I bought a page of John Bernhardt, much to my great pride and pleasure, sitting in front of me.
How did you get that back? You in hand luggage?
I had it in. I've got a suitcase with a front sleeve pocket, and I bought one of those sort of plastic hot flip sleeves.
Okay,
was good. It was. I'm going to say I'm tired of people talking about movies. Please talk about comics. I'm going to say if you mention Doctor Strange, suddenly they throw themselves in talking about the Doctor Strange movie. I want to talk about Doctor Strange. There was a bit of that going on. Yeah. I got to hold an issue of Action Comics 1. That's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Did you have to wear gloves?
No, it was slabbed, so I didn't. But it's very exciting.
For those who don't know what slabbed means, what is slabbing, Tony?
So slab is what really freaky comic people do to preserve comics, and it much, much ups the price of them, and they're encased in plastic, basically, with a 9.2 or 3.1 or whatever their grading is on the top of it, you know?
Yeah.
11 o'clock comics guys came over, so Vince, David, and Mr. Wood, Jason, they came over and had a good chat with them. It's good to see them. I never made it to the party in the end because I went out. We had a no brow meal, but that looks good as well. The only thing that did irk me somewhat is the lack of attendance by creators at their tables in Artist Alley.
Really?
I think we're getting this. We're getting quite a lot of this now. I keep seeing it. Is where creators are turning up at like 1 p.m. or something at their table. I was going to do like a piece on it and I took like long pictures of, you know, 10 tables that are empty in Artist Alley at like 11 a.m. and stuff after they've been open an hour. And I think, come on, guys, you know, a lot of people
that's
queued up.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, a friend of ours, I won't name them, but a friend of ours queued up early to get in to get this sort of limited print, as did I for another creator who also wasn't there.
Because that's something that's no fault of any of the organisers or anything to do with that show itself, isn't it? It falls upon like the actual exhibitor themselves, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're offering a limited edition print that you need to get to your table by 11 to get a copy of or it'll be run out, then and the creator don't turn up at their table till 12, then they've got to tell you, that's done the creator.
Yeah.
You know?
I can imagine it gets a bit shirty with the people lining up.
Yeah, Yeah, like, it was a bit, yeah.
People want to get that print, so they're being a bit, maybe a bit shovey pushy trying to get in.
I guess also with big shows, you plan your time, don't you? You plan to do this so you can move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You really do. And that's, and people get in the queue 2 hours early so I can get, you know, if not more, to be fair. You know, and you, they were legging it into Artist Alley and there was no one there. Yeah. It's,
is that because they were doing other things then? Or I can't understand why someone would want to be at something so big as New York, not be there the whole time.
Well, I could only speak to a couple of the people that I won't name them, but they were just late.
Well, that's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, they were just telling them. I can imagine if they had a panel or something.
That's kind of what I was thinking, if they had another...
But the more responsible, the Cadence comic book people, there was like five tables empty. You know, just 10 o'clock in the morning. And they were, certainly weren't on a panel then, you know.
Right.
Interesting. We're not a wallet for these creators just to take money off us when they fancy it. You know, that's how I see it a little bit sometimes. But yeah, that was my only moan of it. To be fair, the rest of the weekend was great. Yeah. Like, I spent time at Aftershock, Vault, Valiant. Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Europe Comics. They had like a little lounge set up, so I managed to sit down with.
Oh, Irina. I knew you were coming then.
I think someone had made biscuits, and we all sat there eating biscuits and like chatting to each other. And I got a few interviews. I got three interviews. Do you want to play them now, V?
Yeah, we might as well put them in now. Yeah, Tony managed to get a little bit of audio while I was on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Do you need to name them, or should it be a surprise for people? It's up to you, Tony. How do you want to
do it? Let me give a warning. For those who are of a sensitive nature, I interview Man versus Rock, and it goes just off the rails immediately.
Yeah.
Just straight away. You guys have heard it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's amongst the three interviews is Man versus Rock. I'll leave it at one of them, but one of them is a big hero of ours.
Yeah.
That we've talked about nonstop. So, from the floor at New York, here you go. I'm here with Ben Slarback. Yes, get in. We reviewed Exilium, I'm going to say about 6 months ago, probably about the second or third issue, I think, around that time, was it? Is that right? So how did you come to work with Al Turner and Peter Smetti?
I originally used to cooperate with him on... he used to put out an independent publication called... Make Mine Indie. I don't know if you recall it. So it contained previews of indie books that he used to put out on Comixology and other platforms. So I got to know him through that. And then when he opened up submissions for his new newsprint line, I immediately saw the appeal of it. And I was very quick to jump in on that and submit it.
Now, I have to say, you and I have travelled quite a distance to be here, because you're... Whereabouts in Australia are you from?
I'm from Sydney.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah, it's a very long flight, yeah.
So do you find the New York Comic Con works sales-wise for you? Do you get in front of publishers and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, and not only do you meet new readers and, you know, you build up a following, but you get to network a lot and meet a lot of new publishers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good. Now, Exilium has got a touch of, I'm going to say maybe Alien Nation or V, the series, something like that about it. Did you want to tell the listeners what it's about?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of alienation in the way where an alien race comes here seeking refuge. So they're on a run from a more powerful force that's obliterated their planet, run them off their planet. They've got nowhere else to go, so they come to Earth seeking refuge. Obviously, the people here are divided. Some are for, some are against them. Conflict erupts. Down the track, that powerful force, who are unknown, turn up at Earth's door on the trail of these refugees, and then all hell breaks loose from there.
Yeah, cool. So it came out, what was it, 5 issues, was it? I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's a 6-issue series, with the 6th one actually being double-sized.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So when I started it, I told Peter, I don't know if I can do it in 6. he said, it's okay, make this 6th one double-sized. So, cool. And that's how it ended up. Yeah.
And you've traded it now. I noticed your trade's slightly smaller trade size, is it? Was that a purposeful thing?
Turner do 6x9", which is more like a book size.
Yeah.
They find that it distributes better with IPG to bookstores.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, in that format rather than the American comic format. Yeah.
It's a brave new world.
Yeah.
So what's next, Ben?
So we'll have a new run of Exilium hopefully next year. New story arc. There is a 1-page epilogue at the end of last issue that sets up the next storyline.
Okay.
And then, I've got some new graphic novels coming up. I've got another sci-fi one, kind of like a Moby Dick / Old Man and the Sea set in space.
Right, okay.
So, futuristic take on that. I've got some all-ages graphic novels.
The new book is The Map Maker, is that right? It's an all-ages book? Yeah.
So that's the very latest one. It deals with a mysterious person known as The Map Maker, who's got a special ability where he creates a map and it turns into reality. Yeah. He can create landscapes. So it's a power desired by the king, by everyone. So they're all after it. A race to reach him, who reaches him first.
It looks lovely, man. It looks perfectly lovely. Yeah. And where can people find you online? Where can they get your books?
So on my website, benslabak.com, as well as Comixology, quite a few of my books are listed on there as well, including my series Trail, which is my first series, which is more kind of like Indiana Jones-style action-adventure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And on Twitter, you're on Twitter yet?
Yes, so Ben Slabak on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Yeah.
Nice one. Thanks, man.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks.
So I'm here with Enrico Marini, much talked about on the podcast, creator of books like Desert Star, which I think is where I first discovered your work through Europe Comics, Enrico. Batman the Dark, Prince Charming, which has been out about 6 months now, is that right?
Yeah, even more. I think the first book, it did two parts,
yeah.
And now the collection is out now for 6 months now.
Yeah. Lovely. And one that we most talk about probably is Eagles of Rome, which we absolutely love. Is it going to get an English printing? We needed a nice printed copy. I bought a French book and I can't understand French, so...
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, there are publishers who are interested, so... Cool. We are negotiating. We're negotiating this.
Cool.
Yeah, I would love to see. Yeah, maybe an omnibus or something.
Yeah, that's a good job. It's five volumes in all, I think.
There are five now. Yeah, but I want to do more. So if any, I can't spoil it. But
yeah,
if any survive the fifth book. So if there are still some characters around.
Real.
And I have some more ideas, and there will be a follow-up, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've done a couple of American conventions now, because I saw you doing... You did a bit of an American tour of... You went to San Diego, was it?
San Diego. I'm usually more... I mean, I work in Europe, so I do more conventions in Europe.
Yeah.
I've been to San Diego. It was lovely last year. And New York is great too. So it's New York. So it's...
Yeah, exactly. It's like an event itself, isn't it? Because I follow you on Instagram, and I think there was lots of pictures of you out in the desert and all kinds of things. You really experienced America when you did San Diego. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I took vacation. I went to the Southwest and, I wasn't working there really. So, I mean, I was taking pictures, maybe for a Western.
Oh, real. Nice.
I want to do another Western. So,
Usually
when I travel, I combine that with work, or I'm thinking of maybe a future project or something. Yeah.
Desert Star was outstanding. I absolutely loved it. So, you did the first two volumes, and it was a different artist after that, wasn't it? How long ago was that? Because I feel like it came out a few years ago, did it?
Desert Star, yeah, I did that, what was it, more than 20 years ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's time to do another Western, I think.
I think so, yeah.
But a lot of my comics are actually kind of Westerns, or hidden Westerns.
Yeah, the Eagles of Rome is a Western in a way, isn't it?
Eagles of Rome is a Western because, you could say the Romans are the cowboys and the barbarians are the Indians. And, and there are many horses. They just don't shoot. They don't have guns, but they have swords. Yeah, I think it's unconsciously it is. Yeah, sort of a Western. Yeah, it is. Could be.
Yeah.
Could actually the same story could take place in the far west, in the old west,
with the tribes of
and so it's actually more a story about friendship difficult friendship and between a barbarian and a Roman and while they get separated by and have to fight each other because each one is standing in the other camp and they have a. So it's an epic story. So it's an epic, and I like history. I like the Romans, and I like the ancient history.
Yeah.
So I wanted to combine that.
You really feel that in a lot of bande dessinée, because gladiatorial times and the Roman times are dealt with a lot by French and Belgian creators. We don't really see it in the West quite as much, you know?
Yes, no, actually, yeah. The European, I mean, yeah, the French and the Belgian comic are very various. I mean, they have the treat. They do now a lot of graphic novels too, and
yeah.
And you can really tell everything. You don't have so you don't have limits actually.
Yeah. No,
which is more when you're doing comics in America, you have certain limits, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what we get onto. Now, I understand Batman. You've been a big Batman fan for years, is that right?
Yes.
Or was it always a passion project for you?
Yes, I grew up with Batman, yeah,
right,
when
okay.
I was a kid, yes. So it's one of my favorite superheroes, still is, yeah.
Yeah. So was it distributed in where you're from? Were you born? You brought up in Italy, is that right? Or
yeah, born in Italy, in Switzerland, so yeah. In Europe, actually. And I always collected superhero comics, and I'm a fan of Spider-Man too, so
yeah.
Avengers or
yeah.
So it I'm a fan of manga. I'm a fan, I mean, I have a lot of comics at home, so it's from every part of the world, so
yeah.
When something is well told or and especially also well drawn, I buy it, and I'm a collector.
Yeah, no, me too. Good. It's good to know sometimes that the creators love the projects as well, you know,
yeah.
Love the characters.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm an artist, but I'm a fan too, so it's always been. And yeah, I grew up with Batman, so to do a Batman was so natural to me. I was so glad they let me do it. And I knew the universe, Batman universe, so I just knew it. I didn't have to get into it and had a story in mind and they let me do it. So it
are
was.
You doing any more with Marvel or DC or anything like that at the moment?
Yeah, maybe later. For now, I have contracts on my Eagles of Rome and
right.
Scorpion will come out.
Yep. Oh, cool. Love it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll do some more Scorpions later. I have a crime graphic novel I'm working on now. So I have other projects with European, especially with Dargo, my French and Belgian publisher. So I want to do that first. And yeah, maybe do another Batman or a Joker or something, a follow-up. I would like that, yeah.
So if you could choose any American or English character, who would it be? Have you got, you know... They give you. They get you to have a choice. Who do you want? Who would it be?
Like a hero, like a super a character. I don't. There's so many. I would like to get back to the Joker because I miss him.
Yeah.
Kind of miss him. Yeah, because he was really fun to animate. But yeah, there are some cool Marvel characters too. So.
Yeah. I can see you doing an absolutely brilliant
Black
Panther.
I have to negotiate first, and then I'll tell you.
Yeah, I need to pay first. Yeah. So, what have you got coming out next, Enrique?
So, next it will be The Scorpion in French and probably in English too. That's the 12th book. And then the next project is it's a noir. It's kind of a film noir inspired story.
Okay.
So it's set in the 50s in America.
Okay.
And I'll try to do it in another technique, maybe less color, more black, gray tones and black, black and white. Yeah,
yeah.
Something. Who? It's in a sort of tribute. Tribute to these movies I like.
Right. Okay.
The film noir movies and.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Yeah, we'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's more I just want to have fun with that. Like I had fun with the Batman, so I just want to experience some different styles, different techniques, different storytelling too. It will be my first graphic novel.
Yeah.
It will be that long, so it's... So I just experimenting these, right now, so
I have to say thanks for your Instagram and your Twitter posts. We're addicted to your Instagram posts.
Oh.
We talk about them every week.
Really?
Well, we spent 10 minutes talking about how you drew a glove a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
you just drew a glove instinctually like that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I sometimes it it comes out good. Sometimes, well, I mess it up. So, but doesn't matter. I mean, it's fun to do. So, yeah.
Mate, it's an absolute pleasure. We're huge fans. Thanks a lot for
this. Thank you.
I'll give you the mic.
It's good. He doesn't mean it.
Sue the bejesus out of you when this comes out.
Right, I'm here with a couple of wankers from Man vs. Rock. If you want to introduce yourself.
I'm Wanky McWankster, Victor.
I am Kevin Bieber, and thank you, because I understand that wanker is a term of endearment where you're from, so thank you very much. Also, I just wanted to congratulate England on all of its political triumphs recently. You know, keep setting the record proud. From an American, it means a lot, I'm sure. So, yeah.
I think we're in competition with you now. I can see you guys doing a comic on us soon.
It's a race to the bottom. We're doing a great job. And I wanted to thank our brethren over in England, you know. Oh, and, I mean, congrats to the English soccer team for making it all the way to almost beating Croatia a couple of years ago. That was a big, big almost win for the program. So we haven't done this, like, in a couple of years. So I have to, like, get everything out that's happened in a couple of years.
He's got a whole blackboard at home. He's
I have a list here.
So what you guys got out now? What's the big new thing for Man vs. Rock?
Oh, it's awesome. We have absolutely nothing that's new or out.
We have a new pyramid scheme that's trying to teach people, raise awareness for penis reduction surgeries.
We're associating with Herbalife on this. Man vs. Rock, now a subsidiary of Herbalife. Keep your penises small and your heart strong.
Didn't you get married a couple of years ago?
I did, yes, I did. And then divorced, then remarried, then divorced again. To the same woman.
For tax evasion purposes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm confident that not enough people listen to this podcast for me to really...
I can't imagine why it didn't last, to be fair. I don't know. Yeah.
That hurt. Too soon. No, I am happily married with a wonderful wife who lets me go to this convention and leave her with my screaming 18-month-old daughter. So, you know.
How have I not seen furry co-pilots? Being a furry myself, have I not seen that?
It's actually the first book that's simultaneously marketed to furries and five-year-olds. So, we're really capturing a huge demographic, as with our penis reduction market, through our good friends at Herbalife. Go to www.herbalife.com/manversusrock/darkweb.
Is that an ex-hamster program?
What's
that? An ex-hamster?
Yeah. I feel like by agreeing to that, I'm admitting too much.
Genuinely, how have I not seen furry co-pilots?
We'll give you the pitch. Okay, yeah, okay, so this is actually legitimately a kid's book. Its alternate title is How to Sell Out by Man vs. Rock. It's about a space adventurer named Tommy who's looking for a co-pilot. And she finds one when she crash lands on a planet full of adorable walking, talking puppies who drive tennis ball cars and shop at Forever 21. So she gets taken to the pound, like all humans do, where she gets adopted by...
Turns of pages, I'm just worrying what's going to happen in this comic.
Yep, and here's the penis.
There's a man slapping his thighs against a soft bird.
But, yeah, she's...
But it's genuinely a kid's book.
It's genuinely a kid's book, and who wouldn't want to purchase a kid's book from us?
Yeah.
This interview.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
It might put people off having kids, maybe, meeting you. I don't know if that's...
What's that?
Might put people off having kids, meeting you.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I'm doing my part to control the population. I mean, the Chinese government imported me into...
Well, the question is this you guys becoming softer now? Is this the softer side since you got married and you're, like, settling down? And
this is purely a sellout book I'm pleased to report.
It's a finance more
We
sickness.
Have written also a collection of short stories. You've seen this one, right?
No.
Oh, so this is just a collection of short stories similar to our kids' book. It's, you know, sci-fi and fantasy. Like, there's a futuristic world where it's illegal to be straight. And basically
that's called America, right?
We call it Obama's America.
What they'll do is they'll castrate you, and basically there's a senator. He'll graft his penises into a hashtag. He's known as the hashtag senator. And that's how he gets all his, you know, followers on Instagram and stuff.
Hashtag Senator Boris Johnson.
And for those that can't see this, there's an actual drawing of the hashtag penis.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And then we have, like, Ancient Tales of Yore, where there's an ancient elfin man who has a dual penis and he shoots off his foreskins like a shotgun.
So yes, we have gone softer, and now we're fully into the kids' books.
The thing is, you do need to have a flaccid penis in order to shoot off the foreskin. So in that way, we have. Yeah, it is. I mean, that's basic elf dual penis science.
I mean, you've been on X Hamster. You don't know this already? Yeah. Jesus, get with the times, man. No, I mean, to be frank, I mean, the kids' book was a story we wanted to tell. We like things like Adventure Time, like, and honestly, it was a kind of a challenge for us to like tell a story without saying the word fuck or dick.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, our like foundation is tasteless dick jokes. So in order to write a book without dick jokes,
I pretty much had to write it all in order to write a book without dick jokes.
You don't seem particularly changed. I think you're all right. I'd say you're the same guys.
Yeah. No, we're there. We're there. We're still in the muck.
So where can people find you wankers online?
You can find us wanking under your neighborhood bridge anywhere.
I mean, you already mentioned X-Hamster, so you can find us there. You can still find us at manversusrock.darkweb.gov. And our other email address, manversusrock.com. You can buy Unpresidential, which are a book about Kim Jong-un running for president, on Amazon.
Okay.
And we'll end up losing like $10 from each transaction. So if you want us to go bankrupt, please buy it from there. Also, Barnes & Noble, we actually do make money if you buy it there, so that'd be great. Or directly from our website, in which case we make the most money, so don't buy it there.
Are you on Twitter or anything like that?
We are on Twitter. We tweet you all the time, so apparently it's good that you know that we don't have a Twitter, that we do. I don't know that we have a Twitter account.
Thank you
for that. let's see. What else can you find? It's the hearts of children everywhere.
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you, man.
Stars, brilliant.
Cheers.
Well done, Tony.
Thank you, mate. That was good. How good were they?
I was actually surprised you got a bit of audio, actually, because, you know, I thought you'd just be... Because shows like that is... they're an assault on the senses as well as...
We were trying to... me and Arena were trying to go for a coffee and just do a little sort of sum up of what's coming out from Europe Comics, you know, but it was so busy. Yeah. It's like a visual auditory and, let's say, smelly overload while you're there. Yeah, it's just like non-stop.
Don't say that when I'm drinking.
But it's I recommend it to anyone who just once, if you're a comic fan, try and go, because you can walk up to Bob McLeod or Chris Claremont or, you know, these people. I didn't get to see John Byrne because he was sick the day I went to his table, but you can meet all these people, you know, like, you know, big comics heroes of ours are just sitting at their table chatting, you know, Sean Gordon Murphy or, you know, there's loads of people. Yeah. It's worth doing. It really is.
Yeah. And we're all insanely jealous. There's a lot of people listening now who are quite jealous.
So. We did very well. Not to say it's about money, but we did well. So we will undoubtedly be back next year.
Oh, really? Sort
of over our point of view. Yeah.
The like little Hilda area that you guys had set up looked amazing.
Yeah, it was really nice. Cool. And they had some people from the... They weren't like people who had been employed just, you know, like, you know, noisy, you know, bang a drum kind of people. They were actually had the animators down and people who worked in the studio and stuff, and were talking through it with people, and we had some cosplayers who, like, you know, it is great. It was a nice little thing for the kids.
Brilliant. So I'm sure we'll hear more about New York next year, of course, leading up to it, and we'll all get jealous again then. But
if you follow anyone's feed, follow Jason Woods. He's had some really interesting things to say about how it went and what's goes on, and, you know, the how you should act, and it's a good little he does some good stuff on there.
Yeah, very much so. So from one huge mega entertainment and multimedia show to some more comic conventions. Yes, we've got some more coming up that we're probably gonna put a shout out for. But since we started this show, we've covered many conventions, all from the indie comic side of things, as you know. And you can't do that without talking about what's the biggest indie comics and art show of the year, I think.
Yeah.
Arguably, which is Thought Bubble. I think if you're listening to this show, you've heard of... You know what we're talking about by now.
Yeah.
It's the convention that a lot of creators, comic fans and more look forward to the most as the year goes on. And I would say it's certainly the show that arguably gets the most new comics launched at. Do you agree?
Yeah, we'd speak to the printers, don't we, about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've sent something off for print, and it's fortunately coming back before then as well. I did it today.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the one they all work to, I think. Yeah,
there's lots going on. And we've talked about Thought Bubble over the past few years, but always wanted to go more in depth with the sort of stuff you can see at the convention, etc. Whether you visit or exhibit, this is for everyone, not just like exhibitors or comic makers or whatever. So, and with Chloe here, we can finally do that properly. No pressure.
No pressure at all. Nope.
Can I also just give a little shout out to the Lakes, because I have just been to it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, freshly back from the Lakes, aren't you?
Yeah, I arrived back a couple of hours ago, so I don't want to like them thinking, oh, we didn't mention the Lakes. I've just come back from the Lakes Comic Art Festival, and it was really good. No doubt we will talk a little bit about it, but thanks to John Freeman, Ian and Nikki for looking after me. We did have a chuckle Ian and Nikki from the Lakes podcast. We had a good laugh. Yeah.
I think, obviously, next week is going to be Nottingham Comic Con sort of convention special. I think once you're fully recovered and made your notes or whatever, you should do a bit more of an in-depth...
We can compare them, can't we? Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So we'll find out more about Tony's Lakes experience.
But actually, no pressure on Thought Bubble as being the big one of the year, organised by Chloe, I guess.
She's the big cheese.
So if it goes wrong, what's your email, Chloe?
Before we get stuck into the show itself and all the joys that you'll find within it, Chloe, why don't you tell us a bit about like how you got involved with Thought Bubble?
So it's a bit of a... I feel like I cheated my way in a little bit into Thought Bubble. I worked for a bank in pensions and investments for... So you can see the clear segue between Thought Bubble. So I worked there for like 10-ish years and obviously absolutely hated it. And my friend Amy is the marketing manager at Thought Bubble. And as soon as there was a little bit of a switch around last year, recommended me to Lisa, obviously the founder of Thought Bubble. I'm assuming everyone knows.
So that's Tula Lisa. Lote, is that right? Yeah, she was in New York, actually. I didn't see her. But
She was. Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures. I'm incredibly jealous of New York. So I went and had an interview. Me and Lisa got on really well. And, so I started just at the beginning of this year. I haven't been there for very long.
But you've been thrown in on the deep end, haven't you? Because this particular show as well, obviously Thought Bubble is synonymous with Leeds and that surrounding area. But this year, especially the convention's taking place in Harrogate.
Yeah. So it's moved. Did I say that right? You can't really call it a controversy because it's not. You've just moved towns. Yeah. But it's what everyone's talking about, isn't it? Basically?
It's literally the town next door. So if you can get to Leeds, it's a 30-minute train to Harrogate. So it's super close.
Yeah. So with all that going on, you've had quite a lot to work on, haven't you, since you started?
Yeah. It's kind of like starting from scratch. So before, where we would have have an idea of how the tables were laid out to like the bare bones like that, we've just started again.
Yeah, so you've always had like that. After you get it done once, now that it changed to the city centre, it's almost like you just overlay the tables again, don't you?
Exactly. Some people, So next year will be loads easier, assuming that it actually goes okay this year. It's kind of been a bit... it's kind of been good for me because I've been able to see things from the ground up this year.
Yeah.
But I am gutted it's not in Leeds.
Right, are you a Leeds person? Is that where you're from, or...?
I live in Leeds, and we all still work in Leeds,
right?
And I knew it as a Leeds convention, but
can we dare ask why it moved? Would you mind if we asked that?
Yeah, totally. Like, there's been just loads and loads of reasons. So one of the big ones that if you speak to anyone at Thought Bubble will say is building a marquee. Am I allowed to swear?
Yes,
fuck yeah.
Fucking nightmare building a marquee. And you've got to have 24-hour security, which is a huge cost. And if it gets too windy, that's it, it's shut down. If it rains, shut down. So there's just loads of variables like that. And then there's just nowhere big enough in Leeds to take us.
Right.
So I went to see loads of different venues all around Leeds and a few on the outskirts. And the Harrogate Convention Centre was the one that just made more sense to us.
Okay.
We're really excited to have it all under one roof. I think it's going to open up the whole convention to everyone that comes.
Yeah, this is the... So it is literally... I mean, I know nothing about Harrogate I haven't been to Thought Bubble for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I know the experience of when it was around the armories and stuff, and you had like... There was two buildings and like a tent in between them. And then last year, it was in... Leeds
last
Center.
2 years, isn't it? It's been last Leeds. 2 years, probably, yeah. I think.
Yeah, the last 2 years it's been in the centre, yeah.
So when you say it's all under one roof, like Toys R Us.
Exactly like Toys R Us.
that was the model.
They're not bankrupt, hopefully.
So what exactly, can you go into specifics of that?
Yeah, well, so the convention center is made for conventions. So there's loads of huge, huge separate halls that are all connected. And so we've got 2.5 halls that are just literally next door to each other. So the whole thing, you can skip between it. And then we've got a separate panel room and things like that. So it's just all, you can just walk between them rather than having to go outside.
Yeah, I think what scuppered it a little bit in the town centre was, and I understand completely why you did it, was the bag search between buildings, which in busier periods, I mean, I was stuck at a table for most of it, but in the busier periods can be a pain, can't it? You know.
Yeah, everything like that you just, once you're in, you're in. You don't need to get your wristband checked to go between anywhere. And it's perfect for exhibitors as well. So rather than being in a marquee and you might have chance to run around your marquee, this time you'll get chance to run around the whole thing.
You get the usual, you know, comic sellers belly aching where they go, our tent wasn't as busy or our bit of the building wasn't as busy. When you're all in it together, you're going to get a fair shake of the dice at every table, aren't you, really? I think it's
totally hard. Yeah. And there was there's a few spaces that we used in Leeds that were really badly lit and things like that that are just crappy for people tabling.
Yeah.
And we just won't have that anymore.
Okay. And you've got the No Brow and the Awesome Comics Pod next to each other because that's sort of ground zero for fun. Is that where it's at?
No, they've wisely kept me as far away from you.
I bought Nerf guns for this event to fire at Vince.
I bought chloroform just in case you were there. No, but there's like you say, there's three definite sort of areas, isn't there? Because, I mean, I can't fathom how big this place is when you're talking about this, because the table maps went out to exhibitors and stuff, and you've got three areas, haven't you? You've got the Comixology Hall, the Ask for Mercy Hall, and the Pride Hall. Now I've only seen the Ask for Mercy Hall because that's where Awesome Comics you can find us, table 93A. but that in itself is already that's a huge venue. So
huge,
what are the size differences between the three halls, and how did you go about also like naming them for one thing?
So size wise, they're pretty much, so the Ask for Mercy and the Comixology Originals pretty much the same size, not much difference at all. I think one's a bit narrower. And then the Pride Hall, we've only got half of a hall, so that's a little bit more like condensed. But naming rights go to Comixology, who are our biggest sponsors.
Yeah, no, they've sponsored you for a few years now, haven't they? I understand it. They did the Artist Alley at New York. They do a few things. The question I was going to ask: do you ever get any problems with, because Comixology is an Amazon company? Does that ever get any criticism at all?
There's sometimes like a little like rumbling of it. I think that's totally natural because Amazon are this huge. But Comixology are supporting a massive independent comic convention.
That's where I was going to go with that.
And Thought Bubble's non-profit as well, so we think without the big companies like that helping us out, it literally wouldn't happen.
I've got no problem with it. I heard some rumbling recently myself, and me and the person who we were being rumbled at, we just sort of,
I think that's probably one of the misconceptions some people may have about Thought Bubble, if they have any, because you look at the website, you know, certainly you look at the emails and everything, and the branding and everything across the board is so sort of professional and well done. But you're still an indie comic show, aren't you?
And
you know, I know everyone's going, oh, Thought Bubble, and it's, you know, it's obviously massive and it's only getting bigger, and you know, this year's going to be proof in the pudding, I think, with this, because we're going to be there. But obviously it's a fantastic show that's been going well for several years, so some people may sort of think, oh, you know, it's obviously, you know, just big money behind it, but it is still an indie show, and you're still
totally and like I said, we're non-profit. So anything that people come and put money into us, so you guys buying tables and things like that, literally goes straight back into the show.
Nice. And that also comes into mind because there's obviously the Thought Bubble sort of anthology as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
As well as
I was looking at that today. Isn't who's the lady from the Great British Bake Off? I met her last year.
Cause Kim
she
was Joy.
She's in it, isn't she?
That made
me chuckle.
So we kind of share an office, which is a little bit weird,
right?
Really? I guess. Yeah. Yeah, so we're traveling with Kim Joy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with the Great British Bake Off. I mean, that's going to be a weird
No, that would be weird.
Yeah.
So, Travelling Man, who's one of our other big supporters, that's a little comic book chain.
Yeah, yeah, we like Travelling Man.
Shop chain.
Yeah.
Nabil, one of the directors, and Kim Joy live together.
Yeah.
So we kind of chatted to her about contributing, and she was well up for it, and then did this little amazing couple of pages for us.
I went to the Katrina Chapman release party at Travelling Man last year, and she was there. I think that's where I met her.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, genuinely one of the nicest people I think I've ever met.
Until tonight.
Yeah, so the anthology came out this Wednesday.
Lovely.
And yeah, again, all profits go to Bernardo's.
Real.
Oh, nice.
Any other highlights from it at all, Chloe? Or?
Well, Luke Pearson's page is incredible.
Oh, anyone heard of him? I've not heard of him.
And then Lisa's done a couple of pages in it as well, which is incredible as well. Yeah, the whole thing's really great. It's just a cool collection.
And is it, how big is it? It's quite a sizable anthology, isn't it?
This one's just a regular comic book size.
Oh.
Right. Like a fold-out. Maybe you weren't there the year. They did almost like a fold-out newspaper thing.
And we did a 10th anniversary one that was more like graphic novel size.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We're going to be selling all of them, all the ones that we've got left at this year's show, because we discovered a couple of boxes that had gone awry.
Brilliant. Collector's editions.
Yeah.
Slab them if you want, Chloe. Slab them.
I might do. Yeah.
Here's a question that I've wondered about any indie comic show, actually, bearing in mind with that anthology. And that is how well a convention's like anthology and merchandise does at a show in general. Now, this isn't just aimed at Thought Bubble. This isn't just in general.
Now, I was thinking about this weekend. Funny you should mention that, because the Lakes sell Lakes notebooks and all this sort of thing as well.
Nottingham has a comic anthology, which on Kickstarter you need to back. Well, shit, give
it Yeah, please back it now. Yeah.
You know, other show, True Believers has a table as well, don't they? All these conventions normally have a table, probably near the entrance as well, isn't it? I guess, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder, like, how well does the merch do at shows?
Or is it part of just the branding? How do you see it, Chloe, is it?
So this is a little bit of a weird one. So this year, I think, is going to be the first year where we've actually got a merch table.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
So it's never really been a focus for us before, because people love Thought Bubble. I don't know. So we still haven't really decided what we're going to sell on it yet, though, that's going to be branded up. So if you've got any ideas.
Oh, okay. Enamel badges go down well.
Yeah, we would love those. Left it too late, though.
What about T-shirts? I see it in kind of like... like a tour T-shirt. Whenever you go to a comic convention,
I do it every year in New York. I buy a New York T-shirt that's got the date on it every year. You know,
yeah. The New York merch is really nice as well.
They're great. That's a great. That takes half an hour just to get the front of the queue in that one.
They do a lot of that with runs and stuff. You know, like I've done a half marathon or whatever, 2018. So it's a good little thing because people want to commemorate their time there, and I think that's a good way of doing it.
I really like the idea of it being something different every year. So every
get
year
one of the
we
artists
do...
involved. Yeah.
Yeah. So every year we do we've got the red shirt volunteers.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We get one of our guest artists to illustrate their T-shirts, and then we have a limited run of those, but that's by the guy that organises it, which is called Illustrated Mind.
Okay.
So they'll be selling. It's Gillian Tamaki this year.
Yes. Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's done a really nice T-shirt. So they sell a couple of T-shirts for us, but it's not Thought Bubble branded. Not like the logo branded.
Yeah.
So I think they go down really well. But it'd be really, I think it's going to be really exciting this year to have like his own stuff.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And I think certainly, because it's the first year having the table, just comics across the board, when you have table for the first time, you're then judging, we can push this more next year. We can do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even on the day of a convention, you've immediately started almost planning for the next year. As well, haven't you? So
So I reckon like T-shirts, tote bags, badges.
Yeah, tote bags are popular, aren't they? Everyone loves a tote bag. Yeah,
I do
love a tote bag.
I gave
especially
you a tote bag.
A
I gave you a
because yeah.
Did you give me a tote bag?
I gave you.
Oh,
a
you
Europe
did, didn't you?
One, didn't
oh
I?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm collecting
one,
them.
Dan.
I can't recall.
Oh, I might have one here for you then. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah, totes.
They do
goats.
Well for Nobrow. We have little tote bags, and people are always asking for them. Yeah.
Oh, nice. What do they have to pay extra for? I mean, I
sometimes, yeah. If they buy a load of stuff off us, we'll give them a tote bag.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just want a tote bag. They walk up and go, "Oh, how much are those?" Yeah. And it's like that. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So tote bags and enamel badges. That's what everyone will be getting this year.
Yeah. Enamel badges are so great.
I've got a thing for them now. I've got a couple of cool ones. Big shout out to Sarah Harris, who brought me back an enamel badge from New York Comic Con of Outer Darkness. And
She showed me that when I had a drink with her and the cucumber. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got bitten by the bug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, enamel badges. I'm all about them. Go on, bring it, Tony. Come on. No, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, if there's any other 14-year-old boys out there who want some badges, then please, you know.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know it's supposed to mean. You know.
Oh, no. Yeah. So
we had some badges at New York, and that's what got people to the table. I'll be quite honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. People saw them and came straight over, yeah.
How much do they usually go for, then, the enamel badges?
They were $5, our badges, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for like £7.
It's interesting how merch sells at conventions now, isn't it? Sort of sometimes over comics.
Not prints.
People, our prints never sell.
I think that idea of a limited run of prints, like there's an artist that's like high up there and they got 50 prints.
Yeah.
Like they're only doing those. That's kind of like there's a worth to it. But when it's, I feel like it's another print, you can just bang out as many prints as you fucking want. And do you know what I mean?
Prints are an interesting one.
Yeah.
In terms of Thought Bubble, though, we've talked about the print discussion. We might as well cover this controversial topic while we're here.
Yeah.
And I know certain conventions have stamped down on it, like the MCMs and stuff. Fan art type prints or prints of other people's IP, like your Marvel, your DC or whatever. You see them MCM everywhere and stuff like that. Some shows are beginning to stamp down on it. How does Thought Bubble? What's the deal with Thought Bubble?
We don't dictate or police what anyone's selling.
Yeah.
I think the only caveat that we give people is if it's erotic.
Yes.
Don't have it on show. That's the only thing that we would ever tell people, and I guess.
Vince, don't press print on those comics.
Oh, right, okay, I've got to cancel it now. Hang on, I've got to call them. Shit.
You can sell them, they've just got to be under the table.
Oh, that's right.
You've heard a previous show, clearly, Chloe. Yeah.
We were going to be selling some grot under the table, weren't we?
No, it wasn't grot. It's Tony's comic.
It's a charity comic.
But I don't know, It's a weird subject because some people are really picky about it and other people are not about, and I don't know.
I think we talk
quite a bit about it, Zoe. Chloe, pardon me. So we talk a lot, and I think if it was my character someone was selling enamel badges for, I'd probably have the hump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, enamel badges is another level, though, isn't it? I mean, an art print, like Dan says, you can just do a bit of fan art, print out 50, and then you've got them at your convention table. Enamel badges is a completely different kettle of fish. You've got to go through a real process.
If there was a Red Mask from Mars print being sold at another table, would you have a word with them, V? I don't know. I think I probably would.
Yeah, I'd probably walk over and just say, I can't believe someone's read my comic.
and then buy a print
and
walk away.
And then buy a print and get them to sign it.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Normally, with fan art, it's huger things that are covered, right? People. And isn't there different rules about parodying?
No, that's America. People use that with America.
What is the deal with that over here?
I'm not 100% sure, but there's a limit to newsworthy satire over here. But America has a much broader parody law. It all goes back. Do you remember that guy who used to run on to football matches and try and stand in the Manchester United lineup at the picture and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Do you remember him? He used to try and walk on at cricket matches as if he was the next batsman and stuff like that. Well, he did that to try and make a book. And they said, no, you can't use that because it's using the IP of that cricket team or the Manchester United and you're not licensed to use it. But if it was news, it could be put out as news. Does that make sense?
Right.
Interesting. It's a bit more. It's a lot different from the States here. People don't realize.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. But I mean, there's going to be so many creators there. a thought bubble. There's going to be some prints of, like, you know, your favorite show or something somewhere. But I think with thought bubble, it's not like an MCM where you see a huge 20-foot by 20-foot stand that's just selling someone else's IP. Because Thought Bubble isn't that kind of show. Because it's comics first. God bless it.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank God. And, yeah, so in terms of what's going to be happening at Thought Bubble, because the thing that interests me is, and I can't see a lot of the show, because it's Thought Bubble Festival. A lot of people talk about the convention, but there's a whole raft of things that are happening before the conventions even start, isn't it?
Yep.
So what's happening in the lead-up?
So Fringe event-wise, oh God, I should remember these, shouldn't I?
It's quite an important exhibition.
We've got a Hilda exhibition.
Yes.
Nice.
Which, so that's going to be incredible. It's free, and it's running the whole festival, and I think a little bit earlier on, actually.
Yeah,
And that's in the Mercer Gallery in Harrogate.
Yes.
And there's going to be some of Luke Pearson's sketches, and I think Luke might be going down one of the days as well, but I don't know if that's set in stone. We have a Shaun of the Dead screening and a print that's been done especially for that.
Is it an anniversary of Shaun of the Dead that I'm not aware of? Because the Lakes just had a Shaun of the Dead screening as well.
I don't want to guess.
Is it like 20 years? It could be, couldn't it?
Oh, don't say that.
No, it can't be 20 years. Hell. It's just been 20 years of space, doesn't it? So it can't be.
Yeah.
Has it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It came out in 2004. 15 years.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, it could be then, yeah. 15, yeah.
But everyone loves Shaun of the Dead, don't they?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, the bloke who did we had some artwork done for us for our Kirby episode, which was done by Ed Traquino, and Ed Traquino is an extra in Shaun of the Dead.
So other festival events, we have a History of Thought Bubble little exhibition that's at the Leeds Library.
Okay.
Which will be cool. So loads of like our past festival images and bits like that that'll be really cool, and like pictures from all our volunteers.
So there's stuff happening in Leeds still as well as Harrogate.
Yeah. It's just the whole of Yorkshire there. So, yeah, Bradford, Harrogate, Leeds. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And with the Fringe events, we kind of like, if you want to do something in Yorkshire that's comic related and you're happy for us to list it, then we'll list it as part of the Thought Bubble Festival. It's really cool. Like, loads of people contribute. We don't necessarily organise all of them. People just give us an idea and we'll say, yeah, that sounds amazing. Go ahead. Which is really cool. People just really love Thought Bubble. It's really cool. They want to like put time into it for us.
Yeah.
Because it's always I know it's a 2-day festival essentially, but the Friday night, there's always things going on. I think I went to about 3 events last Friday night.
Yeah, you know, we've got an official opening party as well this Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you normally have, is it called the MidCon Party or something?
Yes.
Like that, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's... So we've got, 2-day convention, we've got 3 parties.
Oh my God. When are these parties happening?
One's in Vince's room.
So on the Friday night, we've got a Comixology welcoming drinks party, which is at our official hotel. Oh my God, I can't even remember the name of it.
Crown Plaza, is it? Is it the Crown Plaza?
No, it's not.
No, the White Hart, no?
No, are you staying there?
Yeah.
I've just booked loads of rooms there, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool people go, Chloe, that's why I'm there.
So the Majestic Hotel is our Friday night party. So from 7:30, it's open to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Come and have a drink. Nice.
Are you going up on the Friday night, V, are you? Or?
I am indeed. It's a big old journey for me, so I'm going to be staying over on the Friday and driving back on the Monday. So,
no sleep till Sunday night for us then?
Oh,
usual.
Yeah. We're like the Beastie Boys.
And then, the MidCon party is actually in the convention centre.
Right.
And that'll be the big one. Sponsored by Comixology. Yeah.
That's one that a lot of people look forward to every year, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never been to one, but it always looks incredible. And this year we're kind of... So it's the end of the Wicked and the Divine. So we've got some Wicked and Divine treats for people.
Oh.
Yeah. One of the creators of the Wicked and Divine... DJ one year. I've got
He does it every year.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Is that so, Kieran Gillen?
I think,
who does that?
Is it Kieran or is it Jamie? Kieran, is
Kieran
it,
and Jamie, I think, both get involved.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, and you say there's a three party, so that's two of them.
Yeah, so we have a closing party on Sunday as well that's at the Majestic again.
That's and for that'll people be... are off their minds. Why are you going to do that? Are they not tired or something?
Is that the one where everyone's just having a round of Horlicks and just congratulating themselves for surviving? Yeah.
I think it's just, it's just a really good, because when you're on the exhibit floor, it's just really hard to speak to people. So having all these little get-togethers that are organised that everyone's going to come to, it's just a chance to like.
And you know what? That's why I'm glad you're doing it all in one venue, because last year I literally got 5 minutes away from the table and I legged it to another place to see someone. And it took me, had a bag search to get in, saw them for a minute and legged it back. So it's much better that it's all in one hall, because you can always go around and chat to people after closing or before opening and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah.
So what about named guests then? Is there anyone you wanted to run through and have a little chat about, Chloe?
Named guests. God, I feel like
have I put you on the spot there, have I?
Yeah. Well, I mean the big one for me is John Vasquez.
Okay.
So when I was a little kid, he was like the first comics that I used to read.
Right.
So like.
And that's Invader Zim, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's the writer of Invader Zim that's just come out on Netflix. Which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. So I think originally it was Nickelodeon. It was a Nickelodeon series.
Yeah.
Right.
They got turned into a Netflix film. Like Johnny the Homicide and Maniac comics that he did years and years ago.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can I just say, Daniel Warren Johnson, past guest, he's one of the big names at your event now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've really seen him climb up, the ladder of sort of people realizing how great he is. Since we've had it, when was he on? 2-3 years ago, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Thought he was kicking himself that he couldn't go to the Thought Bubble after he realised that Danny Warren Johnson's going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of cool when that happens, where people start coming as just regular exhibitors, and then they build up and they end up being guests, and we're super lucky that they still want to come back and see us. It's really cool when that happens.
Yeah. You got Donnie Cates, Terry Dodson's there.
Yeah.
He's a great artist, Terry Dodson, isn't he?
Terry Dodson's some of the first comics that I read when I was a child.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh,
yeah. What comics were those?
Oh, God. Was it Fantastic Four he did?
Could have been, yeah. Yeah, could have been. Yeah, yeah. You got Dave Gibbons. Anyone heard of him? He's there.
The nicest guy. I'm in like a group conversation with him on WhatsApp, and he's just
hilarious. Real. Yeah. And you like this one, B? Dave Johnson's there.
I know, and he's on the same table as Daniel Warren Johnson.
Oh, is he?
The thing is, the guest list is quite frankly amazing this year for Thought Bubble. I mean, it's probably been amazing every year, but because I don't go, I'm like, no, I don't want to look, just in case it'll upset me too much. but yeah, so Daniel Warren Johnson, who's one of my current favourite artists, and Dave Johnson, who might be my favourite cover artist of all time, are sharing the same table. And I know what will happen. I'm going to bottle it. I'm gonna totally white out and be too nervous to talk to any of them. That's what's going to happen.
Maybe wait for one of them to go to the toilet and then get in there while there's just one. Yeah.
Stand next to him. Across
now,
the street.
Now, do you? Yeah, do you mean go to the table and talk to the other one, or take his place at the table, or follow him into the toilet? Let me know, because I'm taking notes.
See, he might like a sit down wee. You see, Chloe, if he likes a sit down wee, it's more difficult to talk to someone, isn't it? Maybe you don't. You're not as experienced of men's toilets as we are, probably.
No, well, I guess they're kind of trapped then.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just wedge the door closed. Get in their cubicle with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I do.
Please don't do that. I
better say that no one on this podcast is condoning this kind of behaviour at any convention.
Please don't harass the guests.
Yes. No. No. Be like me and be too nervous to talk to them. So,
Olivier Coipel's there. He's a good find. Is that his first one, or has he done it before? I can't remember.
I can't comment.
I think he might have done it before. There's another artist who's huge on the rise, Bengal.
Yes. Talked about, what was the book you talked about from Image about a year ago?
I knew you were going to ask that, and my mind went blank.
That one.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I absolutely love it as well. I've got to look it up. Talk about yourselves.
Yeah, Mahmoud Azraz there. I like it. I love his stuff. Really good.
Yeah. Glenn Dillon is, I'm really excited to meet Glenn.
Okay.
Both the Tamakis as well.
Oh, okay.
Mariko and Jillian. And
are they both there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, so they're going to be great. And then Rosemary Valero O'Connell as well.
Right.
I absolutely love her illustrations. Just, yeah, just the greatest.
And obviously the mighty Luke Pearson, the new Hilda's just come out, and he's riding on the back of the cartoon, which he works on as well.
Yeah,
and,
brilliant.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Death or Glory. Yes. That was it. What it was that's called. It. Death or Glory. An amazing comic that everyone needs to read. You also like some of our friends of the show, Martin Simmons, Christian Wild Goose.
Lee Cunniff is there.
Yeah. Ram V.
Oh, Jerry Duggan's there. I like Jerry Duggan's stuff.
Yeah. Jerry Duggan's great.
Yeah.
Carl Webster's. I'm really excited for Carl Webster.
Is there anyone you're going to hug and not let go at all, Chloe? Or
other than Vince? No, I'm probably going to err on the side of I'm just going to pretend I don't know who people are.
Yeah, do the cool thing. That's what I do. Yeah. Hello, mate. What do you draw then? I'll do a bit of that.
Yeah. Do you make this yourself? Do that question. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What do you do with writer's block? Is that that where'd question always comes up with panels.
Yeah, where do you get your ideas
from?
Hang on to Terry Dodson's leg. Cling on like a little koala bear.
I'll do that.
Do you know what? I just imagined a small soft toy of Tony that looks like a koala bear that you can Velcro its arms
sexy.
Around.
Calm down.
Not that sort. Anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, so the guest list is amazing. And the exhibitor page. I mean, you need to get a thoughtbubblefestival.com has loads of information there. But it also has, like, you look at the exhibitor page. And if you want to make your shopping list, this is something I always advise to people who go to conventions. If you're not sure what to go for, and somewhere like Thought Bubble, you're going to be in a sea of creativity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much amazing stuff everywhere. Do yourself a little favour and maybe look at the webpage, which has been designed especially for you to look at, and do a little shopping list. You know, if you see an avatar that you like the art of, click on that creator. You might... And then just add their name to the list of someone you want to check out.
Totally. That's a great shout. Just go to thoughtbubblefestival.com/exhibitors.
I've
done that. So our exhibit list is curated. So every single one of these, everyone at Thought Bubble's looked through and gone, yeah, we absolutely love their work.
Yeah.
And then because there's so many, they then get added to the website. And I'm like, oh my God, look at this incredible person. And I do the exact same where I'm like, I've got this list of...
Have you got an app for your convention?
We haven't.
Right, a lot of them are going that way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'd be a really useful tool.
Sorry to interrupt. I actually found the New York one really useful. Rather than sort of dragging the magazine out, you could just search on a name on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought it was quite good. Yeah.
I think it's a really good idea. Yeah, it's definitely something we're going to look into. Yeah. Because things change last minute as well, so it's a really great way to be able to keep things up to date.
And I think, like, you know, pre-planning who you're going to visit as well. Because obviously, most people listen to this, they're going to look at the guest list and then pick out their favourite creator that they go visit. But I think if you pick out a few sort of indie and all, you know, creators as well, it will cut down on the amount of... And we all do conventions, and we know what it's like when you're walking around. When you're just having a browse, sometimes it can be a little bit of an uncomfortable experience because you don't really want to make eye contact with... Because all the creators are sort of staring at you, trying to draw you in with a tractor beam from their eyes.
Yeah.
Whereas, Dan's good at that.
It's not a tractor beam. It's just his sexual muscle.
A little glint in his eye.
His pheromones.
It's been off the past few cons, I've got to admit.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, when at a show, especially when you're exhibiting as well, to exhibitors as well, I'd say this. Because... time away from your table is precious. It is, you know. The wonder of these after show parties and stuff is that you can do all the socialising. Because when the convention's up and running, you need to be at your table. If you're not at your table, you're not going to sell books. You're not going to.
Yeah.
And there will be busy times. There will be quiet times. But in those times where you step away from your table, know where you're going. You can't. I don't think in this day and age you can go for a browse when you've got a convention table. You kind of need to know. roughly where you're going and just make
that's what we said without that's what we do with LCAF is the first Friday we have a party for the exhibitors and guests, so you can go and shop.
Yeah,
you know, gotcha. Otherwise you just don't get anywhere, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I kind of want to disagree with you a little bit, whereas
okay. Please do.
I love the idea when, because I used to do craft fairs, and I had a really similar situation where I wouldn't have time to leave my table, but I think you just need to allow yourself 20-30 minutes.
Okay.
Just to
so
go
don't
and
stress
find
about not
people.
Making sales. You're not missing sales.
Yeah. And you can always have someone, like our volunteers will always man your table for you as well if you trust someone to do that for you.
Yeah.
And give yourself 30 minutes to go and find people that you might never have found otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So if you're an exhibitor and like you want to step away from your table then, and you want a sort of like a helper to sort of man your table or whatever, what, you know, is there a certain colour of shirt they should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, so as red shirt volunteers will always help you out. So if you need, if you just need to go for a drink, toilet, go and eat something or whatever, they'll always help you out.
Nice.
Yeah, I had it last year. It is McAuliffe was our local one, where my table was, and she sort of looked after us while I went down, got some coffees and stuff. Always buy the volunteer a coffee though, if you're going to do that. I would say don't turn up back at the table with a load of coffees, and you can get one for the person who's doing you a huge favour.
The volunteers are the nicest, most helpful people, so if you need anything they'll always help you out. Just go for a wander.
Do you get lots of people applying to be volunteers? I'm presuming you do you? Or
yeah, I mean, so Billy, who works in the office with me now, as like our social media person, is an ex-volunteer, and she came in that way. Martha, who was our assistant director, was a volunteer, and our volunteers come back every single year. And it's really cool.
Did you have like ladies on roller skates one year?
Yeah. Hopefully they're going to be back this year. I'm trying to get the convention centre to give us the okay.
For roller skates.
Yeah.
I was going to wear mine.
Well, there's not no rules against heelys.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, you're in. There you go.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Tony wearing heelys.
I can't imagine an adult wearing heelys.
Yeah. I'm far from an adult, Chloe, to be fair.
So obviously you've had a busy year, and I guess the next few weeks are going to be extra busy.
Yep.
How has the experience been since joining the Thought Bubble team? And you know,
just the funniest time ever. It's just incredible. Oh, awesome. It sounds really, really, really cheesy, but just being able to be involved with something like this is incredible. Everyone that I worked with are all like the creative, super nice people, and when the actual convention happens, and I'm like, we did this. Probably gonna do a silent cry.
Don't do a silent cry. Just cry.
Do a loud one. That's what I do. Yeah. I just sort of sob. Yeah. I do mixtapes for people at the end of conventions. It's just a mix of Neil Young songs and me sobbing.
But just a side note for anyone going to visit the No Brow table, he doesn't have them for purchase.
No, they're free.
The Rod for Your Own Back anthology. Only available at Tony Esmond's table.
You don't want me asking, Chloe, but is it a all year round job? Is it? It's that point as well. Okay, cool.
Yeah, totally. Obviously, December, January is a little bit quieter. But that's when we relaunch the website, we get the dates out, get a new festival image, and
are you always sort of approaching people who sort of you think, oh, he'd be a good guest for next year? Do you do a bit of that sort of thing as well? Which
already,
I suppose is what you were doing at MCM, were you? Was that the purpose of being at MCM? Spread the word and meet new people who might.
We're always on the lookout for new guests, and that's one of the. Lisa does it in New York every year. So we have already got a few people lined up for next year.
Ah, cool. Awesome.
It's a massive all year long. We're a really small team as well, so there's only four of us that work in the office.
Right.
And I'm the only one that works full time. So it's kind of like we do a little bit all year round.
Yeah. So on the like actual days of the convention then, where are you guys going to be? Because obviously you've got like the helpers and the volunteers and everything.
Do you want to give your phone number out now, so in case anyone's got any problems?
Totally, yeah.
So
we're on the convention floor. Years previous we would have different stations, but at least this year we can kind of be in the same building.
Okay.
So we'll just have little different things to manage. So this year I'm going to be managing the panels.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
So I'll be around there.
Have you got any ones that you're looking forward to, you can let us know about? Or
The panels, I'm really excited for them this year. So we've got an Importance of Colour one with Matt Wilson.
Okay, cool.
From Paper Girls Fame. Yeah. He was just won an Eisner for his colouring.
Oh.
Which is going to be, I guess it's kind of niche, but it's kind of like an educational, this is how you can...
No, we've just done a whole episode on colouring. Yeah, we're on board with that.
It's super cool. And I think we have a lot of like art universities come to the convention, so it's just a really cool thing for them.
Mm. Yeah.
We've got a Science of Marvel panel as well, where we've got like a guy that's a science writer. Okay. And it's all about the science behind the superpowers, which is going to be really fun.
Okay.
And then the sketching spotlights are always my favourite.
Yeah.
So this year we've got Abs Hardin is doing it. Sweeney Boo, Mark Ellaby, our own Lisa as well will be doing it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've just watched a couple of them at the lakes. I went to the Staz Johnson and Declan Shelby one.
Yeah.
And there's something very nice and relaxing about watching someone draw on a big screen. It really is. Yeah.
I think it's really cool. It's something you never. Well, I guess now that Instagram's around, you kind of do see it a little bit more. But
yeah.
At least this way you can kind of like ask them questions and
then they'll have a sort of you have a compare as well, like walking between and taking questions from the audience and talking about what they're drawing and why they're drawing it that way and stuff. Yeah, I really like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really cool. We auction the artwork off after the festival as well. Again for Bernardo's. So they'll all go up on eBay for everyone to have a go at.
Brilliant. Amazing. So where are the panels going to be in sort of, you know, relation to the actual convention itself?
So literally off the end of one of the halls, there's a little suite that's called the Queen's Suite that's going to have the two panel rooms and like a workshop and a couple other spaces in there.
Nice. Workshops are just, I know we're talking about them over the past couple of years, they've just got more and more sort of,
I think they've become almost more popular compared to just asking people about their comic on a panel. I think people are liking that workshop thing or the themed panel, you know, it seems to be more of the thing.
So I mean, it's awesome that, you know, all the panels are in one place, the convention's in one place. On paper this sounds like, well, it's gonna be a doddle to run.
Put your feet up, you'd be fine. What's the most unusual? I mean, you're reasonably new to the company, aren't you? But what's the sort of most unusual problem that you've had at a convention? Do you know? Has anyone talked about any?
I can't remember if you. We have Millennium Square in Leeds Centre, which is massively on an incline,
right?
And we have to pay to get it levelled, which is a big deal. Apparently, I didn't even cross my mind. But obviously, if it was. Everyone's things are just rolled down to the bottom. So that's a weird thing that you never think about at a convention, that someone's going to have to prepare for that.
Yeah.
No idea.
What's the situation for food around there? Is it pretty good? I've been to Harrogate quite a few times, and it's is it not rude of me to describe it as the posh end of Yorkshire? Is that right?
It's kind of posh, yeah. So it's North Yorkshire, which is definitely posher than everywhere else. I'm from South Yorkshire, so the other complete opposite.
That's like Sheffield or something like that, is it?
Yeah, I'm from Barnsley, so.
Oh, okay, I know Barnsley.
Yeah. Nice.
She did a pause then. She was expecting us to say something.
Yeah. We're nice, we told you.
We're nice.
We saw you put on Twitter, you're nervous. No, but we're nice.
So I'm coming from the complete opposite end of Yorkshire from it, so it's way fancier. But there's loads of really cool independent food places around.
Yeah,
And we've got catering in the actual convention centre as well. So
there's
just one
nice little sort of small little brewery stroke pub places as well, sort of
craft
places, aren't there?
Loads. Yeah. So literally across the street, there's a place called Cold Bath Brewing.
Yes, I've been there. Very nice. Yeah, I've been there.
So they're doing a couple of events for us this year as well, and that's incredible.
Oh, nice.
My favourite place in Harrogate is called Major Tom's, though, if you check that out when you're there.
Okay. And there's a comic shop in Harrogate as well, unusual for a city these days, but there's one in the cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, Destination Venus.
Yeah, we've had the owner on. Yeah, he came and did a talk with us. Yeah,
Reggie. Yeah, he's helping us out absolutely loads since we've come to town.
Oh, great! That's awesome. Yeah.
God bless the comic community.
Because that was the thing about Lakes. The Lakes is like, I'm going to say, second or third biggest festival in the UK, and after yourselves, obviously. And they don't have a comic shop in the town. So,
oh, don't they really?
No, there's no comic shop in that town, in Kendall. And so I bought a crap load of back issues very cheaply but all the charity shops roll out comic collections to sell.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really cool. Yeah, yeah.
And you cleaned up, Tony. You absolutely cleaned up.
Yeah, seriously did. Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. So we always have Oxfam at the show.
Cool.
And they kind of do the same where they get all their comics out.
It's so cool. Oxfam will actually have a table?
They've got like a little stall, yeah.
Oh.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so again, that might have been something you've never seen before because it'll have been a different marquee or a different building. But now it's right at the entrance, so...
I didn't mind the sort of four venue square, you know, sort of, it was sort of, you had to walk around the sort of city centre in Leeds. I didn't mind it, but I can see why this will be a better deal, I have to say. Yeah, you've convinced me.
I loved it in Leeds, and I loved that you got to see Leeds and walk between it.
Yeah.
But just logistics wise, as someone visiting it, it just means you can experience everything now that we're in a convention centre. It's really cool.
And also at Thought Bubble, as well as all those workshops and stuff, cosplay is obviously a big thing at Comic Cons. So you've got designated sort of areas and, like, you know, there's guidelines and stuff. I see there's a whole page about a cosplay competition and stuff. So, you know,
what's the designated area? Is it just the basement and you can lock them in?
Tony, don't be mean.
No, they've got a really big space this year where you can, like, everyone can go and get their photograph professionally taken, and then we have the cosplay masquerade, which is on the Sunday,
right?
Which is a big competition that's going to be really cool. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I know people are really, like, on the fence about cosplay, but
I'm not on the fence about it, Chloe.
No, and anyone who listens to shows knows what it's like. But if you're a cosplayer out there going to Thought Bubble, then come to our table and buy some comics.
Buy some comics.
And we'll love you forever. You know,
we will. Even I will.
Yeah. And anyway, Tony, you've had cosplayers buy Hilda books from you.
Yeah, but that's little girls dressed as Hilda. I make exceptions for them.
No, you did have a fully grown man dressed as Hilda, don't you? Wasn't that MCM?
Talk about my private life now.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
No, not that I know of. We might have done. It might have been when I wasn't there, possibly. I question his life decisions, to be honest with you. But, you know, each to their own, my friend.
I've got my costume ready.
you're going to do Cockney Kung Fu?
That's for the Sunday.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Not the same costume all weekend, Tony. What do you think I am, a savage? No, so literally, you know, there's something for everyone, not just for the convention, but for, like, the whole sort of week from the 4th to the 10th, you know. And it's, fair play to all of you lot working on it, because that's an awful lot of different things to juggle. And, new area to set up a convention. We know some convention organisers who have talked about some of the difficulties of actually organizing a convention. So fingers crossed it all goes without a hitch.
I think it'll be great.
It'll be fantastic.
Yeah, the tables are ordered. It'll be fine.
Thought Bubble, need to add some chairs to them just in case.
We've just had a chair crisis. Talk about chairs, honestly. We have like a different weird crisis every week, and the one that's just happened is chairs, but it's sorted. You will have something to sit on.
Yeah. the crisis you'll have tomorrow is all your colleagues going, you went on what podcast?
Well, you're not doing that again.
Most creators sit at the tables, because whenever I see them, they're always standing.
You're supposed to stand, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what we always say. Yeah, we say that.
Standing up for 2 days is difficult. I think people should force themselves to stand up. I really don't think it matters, but I know sometimes it's just more comfortable in it to stand up.
Yeah. And it's more engaging. You know what I mean?
It is that, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of feels weird when there's someone sitting at the table and you go up there. It's that thing of sort of like they're trying to trap to beam you in to buy books. It seems to be amplified when they're sitting down. It's even more kind of like...
Really? I would think the opposite. If someone was stood up, it'd be like, oh God, they're looking at me in my eyes.
Yeah. I wear dark glasses. It's like going through a market in the Middle East or something with everyone trying to sell you something, you know. Yeah. I wear dark glasses and don't make eye contact.
I think people that, like, surely you, like, if you're behind a table, you're not pressuring people to buy your stuff. So why would you feel pressured to buy the stuff? Do you know what I mean? I think there's like a mutual.
Yeah, there is the odd stall of people who come out from behind the table and, like, you know, they're like the people on the high street trying to get you to, you know, there's a bit of that going on occasionally.
Yeah, not big fan of that.
No, me neither. Right. Yeah.
Is there anything about the festival that you think more people should know about?
I think all the outreach stuff that we do that's kind of behind the scenes that Lisa's just won a humanitarian award at the Eisners, the Bob Clampett Award, for all the outreach things that we do. And that's all part of the festival. So, like, we give away loads and loads of comics to schools and libraries and loads of things like that that's all part of the festival. That I don't think a lot of people see that as much.
And that's from the Beverly Hillbillies, is it? Or
the what?
They were the Clampets, weren't they?
Oh, Tony, you're making a reference from...
1950s.
I only knew that from repeats.
Yeah, that went totally over my head.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's all right. Most of my stuff does. No one understands me.
But now we've kind of got this. But there's more people behind Thoughtbubble than there's ever been, so we can shout about things like this more and get it out there.
That's what we need to do, Chloe. We need to put comics in people's hands.
Totally
reading them.
Yeah,
that's where we need to go with that.
Yeah. We get loads of comics taken to libraries just for anyone to just come and get them.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's brilliant because, look, if they're not reading the comics now, then in 10 years' time, there's not a next generation going to comic conventions. So we've got to keep feeding it.
Yeah, and kids go free to Thoughtbubble as well, so under 12s.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think it's got a life on it? We see conventions come and go a bit sometimes, Chloe. You see, they tend to sort of last for sort of 5 years and disappear off again maybe and then come back in a different guise sometimes. But Thoughtbubble seems to just keep going on like a steam train.
There's always something new that we can do. But the most important thing to us is that people are still applying for our tables and we get more and more every single year.
Is there any way that you do, or getting out with that, is there any way that you do to keep it fresh? You know, is there anything that you think maybe next year we'll do this, or, you know, how do we keep the enthusiasm up for a festival? I mean,
yeah, well,
UK came and went, Bristol came and went, you know, Thoughtbubble was kind of the new one to me. Not new, but it's the present big face, you know?
Yeah. I mean, every single convention, I guess, is like a learning curve that we can see what works and what doesn't. And you can put more into what works and just keep going from there. But like you keep saying, Thoughtbubble's all about the comic creators, and so it's them that bring something new to us every year. All the book launches that we get, which is just blows my mind how many people wait until Thoughtbubble to release things. And that's the things that get people in.
It's
a community one as well, mate. There's a real community feel to Thoughtbubble, and everyone, if you are you going to Thoughtbubble where you're meeting up on the Friday night, that's the regular thing, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Still, like I said, because this is my first year working here, little things like that, it proper warms my heart. And I'm a very cold-hearted person. So it's just
you're not.
So it's like, people love Thoughtbubble and they love coming to it and they see people that they don't see until the next Thoughtbubble.
Some people we only see once a year at that event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Thoughtbubble is some people's probably only convention of the year for some of them. You know, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing some faces that, you know, we haven't had a chance to see, some creators that we may know because of this show that we haven't had a chance to meet face to face, and any listeners, of course, going to the show, then drop by the table and say hello, because it's always nice to meet.
And if Daniel Warren Johnson has got any of those Ashcan books that he does,
get
one, because I think I heard recently that the Old Man Skywalker, or whatever it is he did for New York, was selling for $800 on eBay the following year.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Christ.
God. Yeah. So where can people go to get like tickets or like find out more if they want to keep up to date with stuff that's going on?
Yeah. So everything is at thoughtbubblefestival.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram as well. We're very active on social.
Do you all have the keys to that car, or is it one particular person that's doing all the social?
Billy's our social media person, so okay. She does all the incredible artwork, me and her share the interactions.
Password. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, touche to both of you, because you know. That's a full-time job on its own, just
just
social media.
Yeah, I mean, most companies now, if you're falling behind if you haven't got a social. We have at Nobrow, we've got a social media officer, yeah. You know, deals with all that. You've got to have it now. It's got to be part of it, and it's part of the business plan.
And also to like keep a steady social media presence as well as a professional website, and you know, to keep shouting the word out. You know, it's like you're running a Kickstarter campaign every day of the year.
A lot of people ask questions now through social media as opposed to emailing official things.
Yeah, way more on social media than email wise, because it's quicker. You can get an answer, and then everyone can see the answer as well.
Yeah.
Billy does a really great job at like keeping it fresh and interesting. That's cool.
Brilliant. So go forth, get your tickets.
And, speak to them.
Yes. I don't think you have to worry about not many people turning up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Had a couple of nightmares about it.
Ow.
Have you? Some anxiety dreams.
But no, but it's gonna be good. We can't wait for it. And of course, there will be. I might as well confirm that there will be a Thought Bubble sort of special. We'll do some interviews on the day, etc. Maybe we'll catch up with Chloe and see if she needs a drink.
I will need multiple drinks. Yeah. You can record me screaming.
Just find one of the people you're really annoyed with and just scream in their face, and we'll record that. That'd be good.
Perfect. Donald Pleasant's Invasion of the Body Snatchers style scream.
We do have a designated screaming room for all Thought Bubble employees.
I thought that was screenings. I thought you were doing films, but that's actually screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Screamings,
Oh, right, okay.
We've got that at most conventions, I think. Because I'm due the odd one here and there. Yeah.
No, but seriously, folks, we can't wait for it. And, it's brilliant to hear a bit more about what's going on, actually. So hopefully this will be the first of a yearly thing that we'll do. And get a Thought Bubble sort of update.
Definitely, That'd be cool.
Brilliant. Good. That means that she was okay with coming on this show. That's all right.
There's a binding agreement there, Chloe. You're on next year.
Yeah. You're a return guest. And once you're one of them, your life is over.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Once a year is enough.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. So stay tuned to this show, because we'll be talking more about Thought Bubble as the next couple of weeks come up, because we'll have some announcements, etc. as well. And like I say, follow them on social media, etc. But Chloe's going to stick with us to talk some more nonsense and recommend something. But before we get to that, the shout out section of the show, it's almost like we have a plan. But do we have shout outs this week?
Dan's got a couple of biggies.
Oh
yeah. Do you want me to do the competitions first?
Competitions, we haven't done a competition in quite some time, and Dan Butcher's bringing the heat with two this week.
You wait for one and then two come along.
Yeah.
Okay, for the first one, to coincide with Rock of the God being on Kickstarter, we've got a signed copy of Rock the God issue 1 by John Wagner and Dan Cornwell to give away on the show.
This is a really good issue as well. I talked about it last week if anyone wants to go back. Yeah. It's a really good issue. Yeah.
You can actually read the whole issue online on the Kickstarter. Yeah. They've got it on the Kickstarter. So to give you a nice taste of the series before you get in there. And the question is this. We wanted the issue to go to a real Rock the God or Rock of the Reds fan. Yeah. And the question is, what is the name of the crooked referee in Rock of the Reds who makes a return in Rock the God?
Yeah.
And you get a bonus point for telling us where he comes from in the UK. If you can email that into the
awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. With what should the email title be? Rock the God competition?
Yeah. Nice and simple.
Or Awesome Rock? No, that doesn't work.
Rock just, the God.
Just,
I do.
Yeah, just Rock the God competition.
Just write competition. And, we're going to read it.
No, don't say competition because it could be. Then we've got to think about what competition it is. And Dan's brought another competition. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're announced the winner of that next show. So
next show, is it? This is going to be a 1 week deadline. So there you go, folks. Deadline. Yeah. Get in touch.
Pull your finger out.
I say get in touch. Dan says pull your finger out. That's not very nice. Yep.
And this is the bigger one. A slightly more a creative slant on it. Yes. It's the Argsum comic script competition.
Argsum.
So we're setting a competition up in time for our Halloween show. And we're looking for you to submit a 3-page script for a horror comic. And it's going to be drawn by me.
Yes.
So you can make
you
it as weird.
Buy that gold.
You can buy that gold. get in touch via email. you can make it as weird as wonderful as you want. You can pretty much do anything, and I'll draw it. So
don't say things like that, Dan. We've done 220 plus episodes. You should know by now that you shouldn't say things like that.
But so essentially, you're going to have till Friday the 18th of November to get your script to us.
November? Awesome. Don't you mean October?
October, sorry. to us at the Awesome Comic Gmail account, which Vince has just given out.
Yes. So if you put that just Awesome Comics horror script in the subject name and send your email and your script to awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Yeah. Three-page story. In and
three-page
out.
Story.
Nice horror story.
Friday pages. The 18th of November. Yeah. And then we're going to...
October.
October. I don't know why I keep saying November. October. So we're going to read the final two, what we select, out on the show.
Yes.
And then you get to vote for the one you want made. Ooh, so when you get get this comic made, you can do whatever you want with it. You can put it in an anthology. You can print it yourself. You can put it online.
Yeah.
And what we could also say is when we read these scripts out, you could then use that bit of an audio. It's almost like a soundtrack for when you read the finished comic.
We can act it
we
out.
We can
not
do
read
the voices, Tony. This is so exciting.
Yeah. Oh,
this is like when we did that advert and we did acting.
Is that a bed of spooky music, Vince. You know, I like musical beds and stuff.
Yeah.
And if in your script you can involve the words "Who's at the door," we'd love that.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So, get your creative socks on and get writing.
Yeah.
Dan will draw literally anything. He's just said that.
Oh, God, help you, butcher.
lots of don't get banged up for it.
No hentai. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, we are going to be reading these and judging ones, so we're not just going to pick the most filthy book to get him to draw.
Hang on. Yeah, that was what I was going
to
do.
But like, if you wanted to put this in an anthology, this is a good shot as a writer to kind of to get something, and you'll have the high res artwork to put it wherever you want.
Who knows? So, who knows? It may appear in a future Awesome Comics anthology. Oh, so many ideas, so many things going on. But seriously, folks, all joking aside, we're excited about this competition as well. So, it's a brilliant idea by Dan, and we love it when the competitions are like creative as well. So, they don't have to be stupid and funny. We're not looking for a comedy script. It's a horror script. So, if you want to do something,
our characters, and don't write it about us.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like Tony gets brutally murdered on page one. I know that's going to happen at some point.
Every one of my scripts starts with that.
I would say try and use it as a kind of calling card for your writing skills.
Yeah. Because despite what you hear on a weekly basis, we do we're serious about comics, people.
Yeah.
So there you go. Do you have any other shout outs, Dan?
Only Kickstarter. I'll say only Kickstarter stuff, but the Last Sheriff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's on. Yeah,
that's absolutely demolished. Got 100% funded in 32 hours, but still got 28 days to go. We was talking previously about building up a following, and that's what the Reckless Hero Boys have done.
Yeah,
and it's working out well for them. So go check that out. Yes, go on.
I've gone again.
There's a deal on there where you can get all the previous issues in a pack. So if you're behind, you can jump on there. Or alternatively, I think they're all on Comic House. You can read it on there.
Oh, cool. Speaking of the Reckless Boys, they do the cover to the other Kickstarter we're going to mention, which is Nottingham Comic Con Anthology Volume 4, Slings and Arrows.
Brilliant.
So they've done the cover for that. If you hear this straight away, you'll have a matter of, I think, like 12 hours to back it. Yeah. They did a very short window, and they could do with some help.
Yes.
All of us and our brother, Mr. Prolix, are in it. And I've got to tell you, there's some cracking stuff in it. So please do go and back it. So as of Sunday night, it's got 47 hours to go. So you won't have long. But please do. We'd love to get this over the line.
Get on it.
Yep.
I've got one other shout out I almost forgot about.
Okay,
the Awesome Comic Podcast Art Challenge.
Remember,
we've got to get, by the end of October, we've got to get some postcard art in, and then we're going to do a blind raffle, and all the proceeds are going to go to the Little Heroes.
Yep, good. I've yet to do mine. I tried another one today. It still didn't work out, so I'm still trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to do one, actually.
Got a few weeks.
Can you draw, Chloe? Are you a drawer?
I try.
Yeah, there you go. You can join in.
Yeah, mind you.
Cool. Nice.
So where can they find out more about that, Dan? Is that on the Facebook group?
It's in the boysadventurecomics.blogspot.com, and there's a link there. But I'm going to send you the link now, and you can put it in the show notes. Cool. And I'll also pimp it out again in the Awesome Comics
group.
Or look for Richard Sheaf on Twitter or Facebook. He's organising it. Very kind of him.
Yes.
Yeah. Good lad. He'll and have a look at that blog, because it is a cracking blog as well. Yeah. Otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Do you have any other shout-outs, Tony?
No, that's me done.
Chloe, do you have any shout-outs?
You really put me on the spot there.
If you don't, it doesn't matter. Sometimes Dan has none.
Don't feel the pressure.
Just buy a thought bubble ticket, please.
There you go.
And I, as always, don't have any shout-outs, and I'll probably think about them probably about 10 minutes after we've stopped recording, so, and then I'll kick myself, because that's what happens every week. I should make notes. You'd think I do make notes, but I make absolutely no notes.
Can I have one more shout-out?
Here we go.
The finisher. Project Hoax is done. It's all completed. All the files are with Sam, so if you've backed that comic, it should be winging its way to you soon.
Yeah.
So watch out for that one.
The Spark should have received a digital version of the Spark. Backed it. And it's at the printers now. Be ready for sale at Nottingham. Nottingham is coming up very soon. We love Nottingham Comic Con, so make sure you come along to that. It's the 19th of October.
I'm quite excited about seeing that in print. And what we're going to do for Monster Spotters Club.
Yeah, we've got some plans. Yeah, you might be seeing a cover from Mr. Hunt quite soon.
Yeah.
On a further issue. But yeah, we're really pleased with that, man. It's come out really nice. And it's been a real, even Dan helped out with the proofreading, where it's a real joint project of ours. We're really pleased about it.
So from the shout outs and all of that nonsense to some recommendations to see you off for the coming week. Who wants to go first? Should we have the guests go first?
Yeah.
Chloe, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
I feel like a bit of a nerd for recommending something by Nobrow.
Get in. Your guest this year.
Everything that Nobrow puts out is beautiful. I wanted to give a special recommendation for Americana by Luke Healy.
Yeah.
Just incredible, start to finish. Absolutely loved it. And everything that he does as well. So he just released three new mini comics as well that I'm about to order, because they look great. And yeah, his illustration, his writing is just.
I interviewed him. I did his panel at Thought Bubble 3 years ago. I interviewed him and Amish Steele at Thought Bubble. They were both as funny as each other. Aww. Yeah, we sort of flew off on a number of tangents. But for those that don't know, Luke, he was really good. And Luke's he does improv comedy as well. So he's got that sort of sparky humour to him, and he's great company. Yeah,
you can tell that totally comes out in his writing. Yeah, just the really little does. Things that
If you see him at any conventions, ask him whether he's still got his thermal pants. He likes that.
Bring him to Thought Bubble. Make him come.
Yeah, I should do, shouldn't I? So I saw him at the book launch recently, and it is a really nice book, and it's in the spirit of a travel book as well. People don't realise it's a comic, but it's also funny and informative and grueling. And there's one scene as well, you know, probably if you've read it, is it makes you wince. There's one moment. Yep. Oh dear, really?
I know what you mean.
There's no hold. He doesn't hold back. He puts it all out there, and it's
and even though that some of the things that he talks about are just horrendous, it still makes everyone want to go. And it's like, how does he do this?
And he took 5 months of his life to do that. It's incredible. He walked the whole of one side of America, walked up the side of it, Pacific Crest Trail, and it's quite a story. Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely highest recommendations.
Thank you, mate. Uh-huh. Cheers for that one.
There you go. So who wants to go next?
Go on, you go, V. Go on.
All right. Just a shorter one for me this week. I've been drawing more than reading recently.
Yeah, I've seen you. I saw your Peaky Blinders today. It's good, babes. Nice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Joe was watching an episode of it, and I thought, oh, he's got a striking face. I'll give it a go. You know when you say a sentence, and as soon as it's left your mouth, you feel...
It's got an image of your house being like Downton Abbey. Or, he's got a striking face.
He does, though. You're right.
Yeah.
It's very chiseled.
Yeah, he's got a face like a breadboard. No. But a very beautiful man. But besides the point...
Yeah, we'll leave that now. Let's move on from that.
We'll leave that now. I've got a... I took a book from... that I bought recently. I haven't mentioned on the show. This is Moon Cop. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Drawn and Quarterly.
Yes, I have heard. Yes. Is it Tom Gould?
An artist and creator. Does he do a strip in The Guardian or something like that?
Is it... he's done some covers for, like, New York...
Oh, he's done a Guardian and New Scientist comic strips and stuff. But he's done some standalone stuff as well. And I became a fan of his when I got a sort of anthology collection, which was called You're All Just Jealous of My Jetpack, which is the best name ever. I think I'd recommend that on the show as well. I think
you did, man. Yeah.
But Moon Cop is a sort of sequential sort of story in itself. I literally spotted this in a bookshop. So rather than a comic book shop, it was one that stood out to me, a nice little hardback book, and it is about living on the moon and literally a policeman on a lunar colony. But it's not a dark crime story or anything like that. It's more of a tale of loneliness because people are leaving the colony and like he's doing his daily beat. So as the book goes on, less and less people, you know, he's visiting less and less people as it goes on. It is a quite touching it has a dry sense of humour going through it, but it is a touching story. And with Tom's work as well, it's beautiful. He's got like this beautiful cross-hatching. To say it looks simple would be to do it a disservice because, you know, we've seen so many comics that or books and graphic novels that there's minimal lines, but then, you know, some lovely texture and cross-hatching and stuff like that. And there's not even that many words on pages. You know, it is literally...
Mm-hmm. He's got a lovely, clean, iconic style to him, isn't he? I really do like it.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Yeah, just really like simple colours, just super nice.
And like, there's no, for instance, you don't see big expressions on the characters' faces. It's very simple.
Okay.
So to do that and to get across like emotion and isolation, you know, and there's also humour and things like that, but is one hell of a feat. It's something that is deceptively simple, but impossible to do. And it's nice, simple to read. You'll finish it. It's only like it's about 95 pages front to back.
Okay.
It's got quite a touching sort of ending as well. So there's a lot of emotion going on. I mean,
it's a table book of Gosh. Actually, I always pick it up. I get money to buy one of his.
It's
stuff.
A lovely looking book, isn't it? It's sort of like, you know, you got that sort of foil Moon Cop sort of word on there. And I just had to get it. I don't know. You can get it on Amazon or bookshops or anything like that. I don't know how much it is in English. It's only got the American price on my book. And it says on the back, "Living on the Moon. Whatever were we thinking? It seems rather silly now." Which I think is the best way to describe the very British way of telling a story about a policeman on the moon. So yeah, definitely check this out and Tom's work in general because it is lovely. It's real lovely stuff. But yeah, so put that in your pipe and buy it. who's next?
Go on, D. You go on.
I've got two quick ones. So finally tracked down a copy of Reaper by Robert Kirkman and Cliff Rathbun.
Okay.
I'm not sure I originally told this story, but I ordered one off Amazon.
Yep, go on.
And I didn't check the language, and it turned up, and it was in Spanish. So that was great. So I found it again. I'll buy it, and it turned up in English, and I read it through. And I put a comment that if 13-year-old me would have loved this comic, 40-year-old me, not so much. It's kind of...
Oh, that's the one. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's kind of like got ninjas and people getting their heads chopped off.
And it's bloody beautiful. Like, yeah, Rathburn's artwork is fantastic. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's just not a lot to it. It's just like dudes being cool, jumping around, chopping people up. But yeah. There's not much
characterization in there, is there? Seems like there could be cool characterization in there somewhere, but it's not really explored.
No. And there's like a kind of a ghost lady that kind of follows the main character around. And at every point, you can see her nipples through her clothes. And it's like, why did he make that choice?
It's gratuitous, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really
not Batman
gratuitous.
And Robin, is it? Let's face it.
But that's an odd one. Enjoyed the read for what it was. The next one, I treat myself to Stephen King's A Stand, the first trade of that, which is Captain Trips. They're making a new series of this next year, and I really enjoyed the book. So.
Who's the artist on it? Is it Perkins? It's not Perkins, is it? No. Jay Lee does the covers, isn't he? Or
It is by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's the script, sorry. And it's drawn by Mike Perkins.
Oh, it's Perkins. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. I like his stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of got that kind of photo kind of quality. Not photo, you know what I mean? Like, it's gone for a more realistic kind of look. It's fucking annoying. You know, you get one of those tags that go off in shops.
They've
stuck it in the book on one of the chapter pages.
Oh, that's annoying.
A bit fucking annoying. But,
I had that. I bought that Banana Splits movie the other day.
Yeah.
And I was setting off every alarm in central London. And then I got home and I realised they left the tag on the DVD. Of course, I'm walking out and the alarm's going off and they're saying the security guard, I ain't nicked nothing, mate, and walked off, you know.
Yeah.
And they just let you leave.
I was going to say that. So, you must be very convincing.
Yeah, I'm a good liar.
Just walk out. They can't really touch you if you're out the door.
No.
But they can.
I was going to say, I think they can.
Yeah, that's not legally... We're not giving legal advice on this show.
No, yeah.
Jesus Christ, I hope not.
I don't expect the security guard to chin me because the alarm went off and I walked out the door.
Yeah. Somebody at FOP had to take me. Yeah.
It could happen in Croydon, though, so be warned.
regularly happens in Croydon.
Yeah.
There Dan was, strolling out of Claire's accessories, and bam, he got popped right on the jaw.
And they stole all my stuff.
Didn't take the tag off my hairbrush.
So, that was me. So I've been reading comics this week. I did read a load of stuff on Comic House as well. So,
In terms of Reaper, Dan, here's an interesting question. Obviously, you got the Spanish version and read that through. Which was the more enjoyable experience?
I think the Spanish one. Because, I couldn't really understand it. So there was, the story was full of promise.
Interesting, because... Obviously, we've talked about many, many European books on this show, and how you look through these books and, you know, you can't, if you don't speak the language, you can't understand them, but you can still take the joy in the artwork and stuff.
Sort of project onto it.
But most of the time, when we've read the English translations, they're normally, the writing's just as good as the artwork, isn't it? So, I just thought it would be quite interesting to see what sort of experience you had with that. Interesting.
Mm. It kind of burns me up we can't buy some of those European books as hardbacks or paperbacks.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about one, actually.
Yeah. I want fucking Eagles of Rome and Desert Star.
Yeah, I got Eagles of Rome in French just because Enrico Marini did a sketch in it for me.
Yeah,
No one likes to show off.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, take it away, Tony. What are you going to
Speaking of foreign language books, because I'm the totally educated person that you know, I got given a French book. And the only reason I could read it is because it was wordless.
So what makes it French?
Yeah.
What's that?
What makes it French?
Because all the stuff, the stuff on the back is in French. Un homme qui vit l'état sauvage. There you go. I won't read the whole thing. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Trap. So it's called Trap. It's by Matthew Bernay. I've just sent you two guys, apologies you don't get to see these, on the WhatsApp group, some interior pages from it.
Tony will post them on the group.
Yeah, I'll stick them on the group as well.
Cool.
But it's a wordless French comic, and it's published by Dargaud, and it was given third mention for her today. Irina gave it to me as a present when I met her at New York, and she says, have a look at this. You'll be able to read it because it's got no words in it, which is quite kind of her. She brought it over for me because she knows how thick I am.
Yeah, but it's that's a backhanded compliment.
But it's actually a lovely book. It's a really, really impressive book. So it's paperback sized, 176 pages. It's a kind of, I'm going to call it a fantasy story, but it's down like flipping weird in a totally brilliant way. And it's kind of completely joyful in its strangeness. And it's got that sort of droll sense of humor that you get maybe, you know, in some of the shorter stories in heavy metal and stuff like that, you know, from French and Belgian comics sort of thing. Mm. So a human savage lives in a wooded and mountainous landscape with his blue dog. Nothing's the normal color in this. He hunts sort of strange beasts for food, but then he skins them and he wears their fur and he transmutes slightly into that creature or totally into that creature. And he can remain within their being for a short amount of time. And if for example, he skins a sort of large rabbit creature, he'll get like super hearing because of the rabbit ears and stuff like that. And part of it is he might be slightly taken over by the animal, so he might become a huge sort of lion type creature. All the creatures are totally reimagined animals. So whilst I say it's a blue dog, it's kind of a dog, you know. There's kind of a lion in it, but with an extra sort of large gaping mouth that opens and can bite a tree in half and that sort of thing. The savage and his dog begin to explore their world, and they go on sort of various adventures in it. They encounter just the weirdest, just the strangest sort of landscapes and people and wizards. And it's quite savage. It's quite brutal. It's not a kid's book at all. There's a lot of violence in it, a lot of sort of bloody violence. There's quite a lot of death in it, actually. I'm going to say it's like the art style of, say, something like Lucky Luke mixed with Gru the Wanderer, a little bit of that somehow.
Okay, yeah.
Very sort of creative designs, really sort of imaginative stuff. And I mean, I'm a vegetarian and most of this is about killing animals, but they're so weird. I never got an irk from it, you know, at all. One of my favorite sequences is where the human dons a goat's fur coat and he climbs up this sort of strange yellow and green mountain and he gets attacked. And what he does is as part of being attacked by this sort of fire-breathing warthog stroke lion creature, they both fall off the mountain. So he catches a flying squirrel as he's falling off the mountain, bashes it over the head, kills it, and then puts it on his head so that he can then glide to a vine. So it's that sort of non-stop action. You see what I mean? It's like if you took a load of magic mushrooms and created a comic. That's kind of where it sits.
You love that sort of stuff.
I do love that stuff.
I'm just looking at the illustration. It looks incredible. It's really like... it's kind of like Tintin-y.
Yeah, the palette's like Tintin-y, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's so wonderfully strange. It's just like bizarre. The good news is you can get it on Comixology, so it's $7.99 in the digital format. And I'm hoping that somebody's gonna because it's not gonna be expensive to translate. Let's face it. So come on, self-made hero or something like that. You've got to get hold of this. You know, I can imagine this guy's got a few books up his sleeve, but it's really good. I'd love to see us put it out. It's definitely got us. The cover is him standing there with a sort of fur hat on from an animal he's killed, but they spot Vionis just his hat, and he's sort of standing in the middle of like just loads of just some of the designs and more of the creatures that are in it in the book sort of thing. I think it would be the perfect accompaniment if you were saying reading something by Jim Woodring. You know, we talked about Fran and all those sort of books when we had Andy Baron on. If you read something by Andy Baron and then read this, I would suggest it would probably be a good sort of accompaniment and just a fuckload of psychedelics. Don't do drugs, kids. But I would say that's where you've got it. Yeah. So that's Trap by, I'm trying to read his name, Matthew Bernay.
Nice. The only drugs you need are comics.
Exactly.
And, there's a group of fantastic.
And let's face it, they're more expensive than getting hooked on heroin or crack, so you're fine.
Plenty of great titles there for you to go forth and check out and start reading before the upcoming conventions. Speaking of which, the next show will be from Nottingham Comic Con.
Yeah, we're looking at
2019. To this. We will be there. We will have a table, so drop by. Do drop by and say hi. In all seriousness, if you come up to the table and say, "Have you got the special stuff?"
Yep.
Then you will be able to get your hands on a copy of Tony Esmond's anthology.
A brown envelope will come from under the table.
Yep, I will have copies.
Joe,
of
who is Vince's fiance, will just groan. What are you doing? And we will sell you a copy of my new comic based on a lot of prostitutes.
Now, yeah. Obviously, this is a funny way of selling this book, but it's a serious book, and it's a very good, very, very
and
good
book. And it's for a charity. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's the Hoare Chronicles. So, yeah, if you want to get that,
Well, I'll be doing it. I think I'll continue the special price of £3.50. So it's only £3.50 for a 32-page comic.
So there you go. Yeah. That's so good. You will get a brown paper bag with a copy of that that Tony may sign.
Yeah.
With a pen.
I might write something. I signed one for the Men vs. Rock guys, and they were sort of actually quite touched by it, which was off tape, funnily enough.
Naturally it was, yeah.
didn't want to break character for them.
yeah. But we will have comics, we will have artwork, and stuff like that, and badges and all sorts of kinds. So come to the table, talk some comics with us.
Are you coming to Nottingham, Chloe?
Say that again, sorry?
Are you coming to Nottingham?
I would really like to.
Too busy, yeah.
Well, it kind of... Yeah. I'm just weighing it up, actually, because it's a really easy trip from Leeds, so maybe.
I was thinking
it looks like a really cool little show.
Yeah, it's really sort of family-friendly, fun one, yeah. It's only a day.
Yeah. And it helps charity as well. It helps charity. So
cool.
Always good to see. So hopefully see you there. So next week we'll have like audio. And there'll be more convention talk because we are deep in the season of conventions. And mm-hmm. Thought Bubble is going to be like the huge firework show to finish it all off for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and thank you again, Chloe, for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
It's been brilliant. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you got some information from it, or you know, just let us know if we messed anything up, but if there's anything else that you do want to know, then you can, or if you want to join our competition, by the way, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. follow us on Twitter at the awesome pod, where have I given you guys the password again?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Right, that's all right. So it's not just me just not posting anything in the week. It's these two can look after it as well. So that's why social media is important, and don't put it in my hands. So, but follow the Twitter at the Awesome Pod. Go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and like us there. And like I say, you can keep the conversation going every week at the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk. Maybe you say, oh, I don't want to do Facebook. I don't like Facebook. Trust me, you can just log on and check out this group, because it's just people talking about comics, making comics, conventions. There's no hard selling or anything. There's a great, it's not great, it's fantastic, the community that's there. And it's got nothing to do with us. We just set the page up and then it's got life of its own.
That Inktober thread's going fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's been good, that man. Yeah, really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you want to see some awesome art, then definitely, search for Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook and join the group and get stuck in and get involved. And, thank you for listening to us, whether on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, leave a review, subscribe, share, just get the word out about this show and all these great comics and conventions that we talk about weekly. And whether you listen to us on a network like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
Well, just because of Jeff and Jake in New York, you should listen to Pod Fanny Pack of Power.
Jesus.
That's what they call a bum bag. I was trying to get him to call it a bum bag. I won't tell you the third word we had for it, but you know.
Why has it always got to come back to bum bags with you?
It's never ever come back to a bum bag.
Don't listen to him. He's all about bum bags. He's literally all about bum bags. So when you see him at a convention, just ask him about them.
Yeah, I always got one on.
Like an 80s wrestler. There's Tony. Actually, they're making a comeback, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
I always wear one with my tape Walkman.
Oh, that is retro. Yeah, I mean, it's not retro because Tony just... He hasn't changed anything since 1982.
It's like a stopped clock.
Yeah. Anyway, where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
NeverMindAnything.blogspot.com or SASEZOHYZ on Twitter.
Nice. And if you can't make it to Nottingham but want a copy of Tony's comic, where can they get it, Tony?
NeverMindAnything.bigcartel.com, because I'm corporate and branded.
Right. Yes.
I still don't own it.
Yep. And talking about more awesome comics, where can they find you, Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. There you go.
Back and cooking with gas. Love it.
Thank you. Yes.
Your audio didn't speed up at that point. Now it's just Dan.
Yes. And thank you for the little sort of Easter eggs in the latest strips, Dan. Very cool.
Yes, both the Horror Chronicles and Red Mask pop up.
Yeah. Oh, why haven't I seen this? I need to see this. Oh, Christ.
You haven't been reading it week on week, Tony.
on the floor in the bedroom, there's like the guy's read it and it's on the floor.
Oh, I didn't see that. You know, and I retweeted it and everything. Right, I'm
going
there now.
Yeah. Oh, so I was tagging you in.
Again.
Tony Esmond, you are a sham. And speaking of a sham, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmouseforMars.com. Chloe, once again, you've been a legend. Where can people find you and Thought Bubble online, etc.?
Thought Bubble's more important, so Twitter is Thought Bubble UK, Instagram's Thought Bubble Festival, and then just thoughtbubblefestival.com to get all your tickets and info.
Awesome. But you're important too. Just know that.
Thanks.
Hey, she's setting up a screaming room at Thought Bubble. Yeah. I can't wait for this.
It's private, though. It's just for us.
What, just for the Thought? What, you mean like exhibitors and stuff can't go in there?
No, sorry.
Oh, well, that's completely changed my opinion of the show. anyway, thank you very much for listening this week, folks. Stay tuned for more news, etc., week on week. And go forth, read loads of comics, get ready for your next convention experience. And from Dan, Tony, Chloe and myself, have a brilliant week. And what do they do?
Stay awesome.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Give me 28k, I'll kill a man. What? Should we get started?
Yeah. I'll do it for £100 a week for 3 weeks.
That's something else, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
And that Indiegogo goes going nowhere, so you might want to take that down.
Once you did a story of a Kickstarter-type business for assassination, you said, right, we're going to kill so-and-so, and people got to give money to it.
Oh, that's... and a different person based on a reward tier. This is genius. Oh, my God.
It's like, you go on the dark web, everyone goes, oh, if you go on the dark web, you can find a hitman. No, you can find a site that claims to be a hitman and will take all your money.
Yeah.
Why did everyone go, yeah?
I've listened to a podcast about it.
People
get fucked up for money. Yeah, I can imagine that happening all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you're trying to claim your money back for hiring a hitman on the dark web. Yeah, good luck with that, my friend.
The one that I listened to, he tried to hire an assassin to kill the assassin that had stolen his money, and the second assassin was also someone to steal his money.
Brilliant.
Just a, like an inception of...
That's like a metaphor for life as well, Chloe.
Yeah.